Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, another edition of Leaving the Ring Radio. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with my co-host, Gabriel Montoya, and the man behind the switchboard, Mr. David Chen. Hope everybody's doing fantastic. Hot day, man. I mean, talk about, it's just scorching hot. You know, over here in Modesto, California, it's 105, and it's just taking everything out of me. But my mind's got, you know, what's on my mind today is boxing. A lot of things to talk about here. Especially, you know, about some announcements, which is one of them is Golden Boy announcing the official opponent for Saul Canelo Alvarez, which is going to be Josecito Lopez, the Riverside Rocky. That's what he's been labeled by a lot of fans and media outlets. Some people are for the fight, and some people are outraged about the fight. You know, a lot of folks, including myself, you know, the thing too, you know, because I've had a few either debates or discussions with people on Twitter, and you know, it is a good fight. Let's make that clear. This is going to be an entertaining fight, you know, but my problem with the fight being materialized and made by Golden Boy and by the Alvarez camp is that there are a number of available 154-pounders. You know, I understand that everybody's got to make their money. But what about the guys that are campaigning in that division? I think, to me, I think they should have first, you know, dips to it. Because it should almost be like at a job. You have to have seniority. And these guys have worked their way to try to get a money fight or have a chance to prove that they are one of the either the better or the elite at their division. That's why they train at 154. They're not training at 160, 168. They're campaigning at 154. You know, nothing against Josecito Lopez, Henry Ramirez, the Thompson Promotions. None of that. There's nothing that I could say bad about them, because if anything, that is the right move for Josecito Lopez. That is the right thing for them to do, which is to seek the best and available fights out there for their fighter. But in terms of Golden Boy and Saul Alvarez, that's where we got to say shame on you. You know, because like I said, you're taking away food off the table of fighters that are campaigning at 154. You know, and there's a lot of other things too that I want to kind of get off my chest here a little later on Leaving the Ring Radio. 3 hours of boxing talk. I want to talk about the Chavez and Sergio Martinez. Definitely got to talk about Amir Khan versus Garcia. And then you got a heavyweight fight that I actually think is very interesting, and not a lot of folks, Americans are not really jumping on the wagon on this heavyweight fight against Hay and and there you are.
I ran a little late, like Connie Chung. I just kind of like cut it right to the quick. I was in the midst of doing something, and I'm getting ready to go to this Bash Boxing Hollywood Nights show tonight here at 7:30. So you'll kind of hear me travel as the night goes on. I'm kind of excited. It's got like a kind of an old Hollywood themed
night
show.
Yeah, last time I remember that. I remember they had the old roller skating theme. You know.
Yeah, so, they had, I think they did like a retro disco night or something for New Year's. But apparently, yeah, they're really going all out with this. And fortunately, my article on it is not going to be out till later, because Max Boxing's undergoing maintenance right now, much needed maintenance on our site. So we apologize for that. Just let you know if you're trying to log into any of our stories. Let's get to this thing you were talking about just now, though. It's multi-tiered. Yeah, I'm happy for Josecito. I hear he's making a lot of money for this fight, obviously in the high six figures, and that's great for him. For a guy like him that's an action fighter, he's probably not going to have a long shelf life And who knows? We're gonna talk to him tonight. We get to find out just what his plan is. Maybe he doesn't want to be in boxing forever, you know. And he also has a tremendous amount of belief in himself. So I don't think he's taking a fight thinking, oh, I'm just gonna just make a paycheck and show up. He's never acted that way as a fighter. So I don't think it's that. It really isn't on Golden Boy to build his career because, you know, he's with Heyman. He's not really with Golden Boy, although more and more each day that seems like and when you talk to people in the industry and when you just observe trends, it actually does seem like there's, you know, Oscar's the figurehead, Schaefer's the CEO, and it sounds like Al Heyman is actually calling all the Golden Boy shots. I don't care how tough Richard Schaefer attempts to talk in his Swiss accent. Really, it sounds like more and more, and it looks like more and more, that company is just a larger puppet for Al Heyman. For better or for worse, you know, because Al is a solid manager. Like, we interviewed and talked to fighters last week. We'll talk to another Al Heyman fighter this week. No one ever has anything bad to say about him. You know,
no.
He gets their fighters well paid and all that, but what I don't get is where Golden Boy is going. This is a voluntary defense. You know, for Canelo, it's going to be an action fight. But, you know, I mean, is it an action fight we already know the ending to? And is that good for us? I mean, no one fight's going to kill the sport. But I've never believed in a fight that saves boxing or kills boxing. But it's just odd. And, you know, I was talking with the WBC today, Mauricio Sulaiman, who will, you know, likely take over as president for life once his father's gone. And they just don't make a lot of sense, Dave. They just don't.
I know.
I'm looking
at
the rankings, and this is why I don't care about the rankings.
Right.
You know, because, like we always say, like, you know, people are like, oh, my God, like people are going crazy about the ring ratings, which, you know, if you think the WBC ratings don't matter, I mean, you know, then just go check out the ring ratings because they seem to matter even less. They've got a new drug policy where if you test positive both A and B sample, you're just off the ratings until you work your way back in. I guess as a clean fighter, and get a few positive, you know, a few negative drug tests in your belt. I guess that's what they mean by working your way back in. But they removed Berto, and Berto's case, you know, it was nandrolone, it was contamination. I think he can probably prove it. He hasn't even gone before a commission. Neither has Peterson.
Peterson
tried to get a license.
Didn't say that, right? Yeah.
This is exactly why we don't respect them, because they did this before the California Commission, you know, ruled on the Hopkins fight. They just gave the belt right back, the ring ratings. They just kind of do what they want. Or maybe they do what, you know, the people above them tell them to. Who knows? It seems very disingenuous. It just doesn't seem very honest anymore. I don't think the ring should be paid attention to. Other than Doug Collins' columns and the occasional articles here and there by different writers that I do enjoy. But in terms of official policy and a ring ratings, I think they should be absolutely thrown out the window. They've been compromised. They're owned by a promoter. No one should give a shit. But I'm starting a little hot, Dave, on the show. I'm just a little – I had a little bit of coffee. I'm a little excited.
You know
– if you want to come back to this, we can, because I had some back and forth about the WBC ratings and how kooky they are with the WBC, if you want to hear about it. But we can move on to something else, too.
Well, you know, I mean, my whole rant really is about a lot of things that you're touching on, and even more where – See, the thing, too, is that with the ratings and WBC, you know what really just kind of gets me sometimes is that you see fighters that will bash the WBC or they'll do this or whatever the case is. But I can't just blame an organization. I have to blame everybody that is surrounding it. You have to put some blame, too, with the fighters, because when it's convenient, they'll back it up. For instance, Amir Khan, accepting a title that you lost. You know, where's the sense of pride? Where's the sense of going like, you know what, I don't want this title because I want it the right way. I want to beat this guy. Commissioners, get him in a conference room, find out the situation, and let me redeem myself the way I'm supposed to redeem myself. Sergio Martinez, I don't care whether or not he takes the test because I don't want nothing interfering in the fight of not happening. Well, wait a minute. You lose, then what? We can't hear the excuse that, well, he was a much bigger guy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you got to
take the test. Yeah, you're going to take the stand. You're not going to take a stand.
Exactly.
It's like BJ Penn, and a lot of maybe fight fans don't know who he is. But he's a more famous MMA guy. I think you could say that name, and he's famous. And people will go, okay. But, you know, he was going to join WADA and was all for it. And, you know, I'm going to do it no matter what Dana White says, this and that. And then all of a sudden he comes out, well, I'm not going to get paid if that other guy goes positive. So let's hold the results till after the fight. Like, that's the solution. Instead of going with, I don't know, you know, a penalty to the guy that tests positive, which I think would be fair. If you're dirty, you know, you should not pay a fine to the commission. You should pay to the guy whose paycheck he just killed, which is your opponent. I think that's fair. But, you know, these guys want to pick and choose the best parts, these entitled athletes that are used to having things their way all the time. It don't work like that. All in or out. Either you're going to be showing that you're clean and you're going after the guys that are dirty, or you're not. And in this case, yeah, either you want – like Martinez was very disappointed in him, you know, and I like Martinez a lot, but – and I understand the position that's all about the money, and he wasn't exactly beating the drum for a clean sport. He said it publicly that he wanted it, and I asked him about it. And then he said, well, you know, and I asked him, do you think the fight would have fallen apart? And he didn't really want to answer it, and I respect that. But, you know, he can decline if he wants. But the bottom line is, like, you kind of came out and said you wanted this, and then when it push came to shove, you know, and you know, DeBell and I have buried the hatchet. Apparently the a miscommunication due to a third party.
To a third party, right.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, someone told me something that wasn't true, and I went with it. Wow. And that guy owns a website, and people believe the things that he writes, even though he claims to have no aliases and apparently has a ton. But that's a whole other story. But you know, if this doesn't make a lot of sense to me, it's, I mean, we want to play the sport unless it jeopardizes my fighter's money, and then we won't do it. It's a little disingenuous. You can't really be a crusader some of the time. You're either doing
Absolutely.
It or you're not.
That's,
you know?
That's my whole take of stuff, you know. And fight fans, we're going to be calling in Saul Canelo Alvarez in a short bit, and definitely going to ask him some questions, and maybe he can clarify, you know, some of the questions that a lot of us are, you know, burning to ask here on Leave the Ring, 3 Hours of Boxing Talk. You want to call in? You certainly can. You can weigh in on the conversation after the interview. Tell us what your thoughts and what you think. If you, you know, I mean, like, I've had a few people defend the Canelo Lopez move. And you know what? This is an open forum. You know, we're not going to yell at you. We're not going to cuss you out or anything like that. You know, we're definitely going to allow you to speak your mind and give your points. You know, as long as you're respectful of allowing us to give ours, you know. Even on Twitter, if you want to speak to us on Twitter, you certainly can. Follow us on Leave It a Ring Twitter account or with Gabriel Montoya. You know, even one guy right now, a sense of pride, Dave, you know, he wanted to fight him. It's not his fault. The dude failed the test. Let's go back with the word pride again, okay? Sense of pride meaning that we know we failed the test. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about.
He didn't fail the test in that first fight, though. I mean, he did admit to taking a banned substance.
Exactly.
He didn't fail the test in that first fight. That speaks to a larger point, consistency.
Inconsistency. And see, and that's my point here is that you know you lost the first one, and you're getting the title you haven't won yet. That's the sense of pride. You know, if I'm a fighter, or if let me just take that out of the whole scenario, okay? If, you know, I'm a union plumber by trade, okay? And if I did a job and I failed all the testings that I needed to do and the guy comes up to me and says, hey, you're still going to make you the head foreman of the job, I have to have a sense of pride of saying, you know what, I don't deserve that because I didn't beat the test.
Yeah,
let me beat the test. Then it's well-deserving. That's what I mean by a sense of pride. You got to have a sense of pride. You're taking a title that it's not even deserved. You didn't win it, you know? And, of course, he wants to fight him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to fight Peterson. Connor, to me, has shown that he wants to fight Peterson.
He'll fight anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm talking about the bout with the WBA. Fighters have to make a stance. Whether you feel it's right or wrong as a fan, a fighter has to make a stance of saying, no, I'm not taking that title because it makes no sense for me to receive a title that I did not deserve. Anyways.
That's the thing, you know, I mean, we talk about performance enhancers. I mean, this is, it's kind of an interesting debate, you know, because.
We got to patch in our first guest and we're going to get right back. We're going to tackle this conversation again. Let me patch in our translator which is one of the hosts of Noche de Boxeo, George Jimenez. What's up, George?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, brother, good. So let me call in. I believe it's going to be Eddie, like last time, is going to be answering the phone, and George, you could just take over as soon as he answers. It's probably going to ask you, you know, who we're affiliated with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Into the interview. I'm really, really interested in hearing
what we're wearing.
Saúl Canelo, what he has to
bueno.
Say. Bueno, ¿puedo hablar con Saúl Canelo, por favor?
Está entrenando ahorita, señor. Está entrenando.
George, can you ask him, because we had a scheduled interview for 5:15. What time should we call him back to get this interview?
Sí, queríamos saber, bueno. Lo estamos llamando para una entrevista de radio. Él nos había dado esta hora para llamarlo. ¿En cuánto más o menos lo podemos volver a llamar?
Una hora, porque ahorita está entrenando.
¿En una hora? Back in about an hour, yeah.
Okay, so at 6 o'clock, a las 6, ¿es bien?
Es bien.
Okay, a las 6. Gracias.
Okay, muchas gracias.
Okay, well, there you go. That's hot. So George, if you can call back, brother, at 5:50, so that we can call back Eddie and Canelo and get them back on.
No problem. What's he doing?
He was training.
He was training, yeah.
He was training, which is weird, because I did ask if we can do it at 6 o'clock, and they said no, that this was the time to get them on. All right,
George. Fighters kind of do their, they're like movie stars. They just do what they do. Everybody else is on their time.
Exactly. You know, Fight Fans, if you want to call in 347-215-7598, you certainly can. Be sure to tune in to Noche de Boxeo. It's every Monday night, 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. West Coast time. And then make sure you tune in to Sunday night, The Boxing Fix. It's the blitz of boxing. Everything's fast-paced. Talk about all the undercards and all the fights that you should have tuned in and watched. And that's on Sunday nights, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. But let's go back and touch what Gabriel Montoya was talking about here on Leaving the Ring. Go ahead, brother. Continue your thought.
Cool. I mean, I guess on one hand, Peterson did come out and just say, look, I had that in my system beforehand, but he didn't get caught, so it wasn't like he had this out-of-control TE ratio test, or, TE ratio, because they didn't catch him on that. I mean, it's a slippery slope. He had a banned substance in him, but we haven't really seen any proof of that. We haven't seen any of his case. I just think, like, we haven't even seen him go before the hearing for what happened in training camp. So I don't understand why the WBC just gave the belt right back, but I guess because of the admission, or was it a positive test that happened during training camp with VADA? But I think to your point, maybe on one hand, and I'll argue the con side, he's kind of saying, well, I didn't really lose it because that guy was cheating. And I guess that's kind of fair. But, you know, these belts, you know, all of a sudden it's for the ring title and it's for – you know, conveniently, it's for the ring title because of this new drug policy that they rolled out the week of the fight with Khan and Garcia. And it doesn't really bother me so much that he's taking the belt. It's kind of weird to me that they're rolling out this drug policy this week, like months and months after. It's like 2 months since everything kind of went down. I guess it's time to kind of figure it out. But, you know, I asked them on Twitter about it, like what happens in, you know, each case is very different. Why does that change? And I don't know. I don't fault the guy for taking the WBA belt back. But at the same time, it's just, if the belts mean what they mean, if you know, they mean whatever you want them to mean.
Exactly.
I mean,
and that's why I said it's a conveniency for fighters for the moment. You know what I mean? If it's not swaying the way they want it, then you're going to hear the bickering. But if it is, you're not going to hear nothing. And that's my problem. That's my problem with everything. That's why I can't solely put the blame on an organization or even like the promoter. I mean, Golden Boy, let's go back with this whole, Alvarez versus Lopez. You know, I don't fault Lopez's team for taking the fight. And at the same time, I'm not going to put all the fault against Golden Boy too. I mean, you have a fighter that is labeled a superstar, who's labeled to bring a large amount of numbers. So why not take a lesser guy at 154 or even a guy that lost at 154? You know, Devon Rodriguez. I mean, the argument would still be is, well, you're picking up a guy that lost. But still, he's 154. That's his weight division. So that's the thing that I have a problem with. I think sometimes folks don't want to put any type of blame to the fighter because they're like, well, you know, he's got to do because he's young, and I've heard it all. But at some point, you got to go, listen, you know, at the end of the day, if a guy has drawing power, you can't sit there and tell me he doesn't have a say-so in his career. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He does.
Well,
and his team does too. But we're going to find out more information because maybe I may be way left field on this. I don't know. But I want to patch in some fight fans that want to talk on Canelo Lopez, and maybe they can incite me with something or bring up something that I don't think.
I think you do have to blame. You do have to blame Golden Boy. There are plenty of fighters that are available at 154. Arislandi Lara, for one, and it was a fight that we were all demanding. We were all saying,
absolutely,
we'll make that fight. And they didn't want to put him in there. Maybe you build towards that. Maybe they're going to do a tournament or something. But at the same time, Al Haymon finds him. Boom. He's kind of quietly out of the running. Austin Trout, who signed with Al Haymon, he mentioned VADA testing. Boom. All of a sudden, he's out of the running. You know, no one's really answered that question why that is. He's like, my only stipulation, he said, on boxing scene, is...
If you mention that word again, VADA, I'm hanging up on you. That's my...
So VADA. It's
my closest impression of Schaefer.
Very upset at that. But, you know, it went very quiet. Austin asked for that fight. All of a sudden, boom, we're he was out of the running. I think that's, you know, these are things we got to look at. But when you go to the WBC's rankings, this was so funny. You know, Miguel Cotto is now number one ranked.
I know. That's weird.
Even though he wasn't ranked at all and he, you know, lost his fight. And they've dropped James Kirkland, you know, from it. I'm going to have an actual story on this coming out. I don't want to give out all the details of what they said to me. But I asked, you know, they were like, we were more than happy to answer any questions. I was like, great. And so I said, let's go to the rankings. I said, why is Miguel Cotto ranked number one when he lost a fight? And they said, Cotto lost a fight against the best fighter of today and it was a very good and close performance. The committee received a petition from Cotto to be rated in the WBC, and that was the position the committee determined. There is no one that can argue that Cotto is deserving of that position unless you can signal another fighter who should be on top of him.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm thinking, everybody that's been fighting in that division, Vonis Martirosyan could be one. Arislandi Lara could be another. That's just two I could think of. And no, I'm not saying they're better fighters than Miguel Cotto, but at 154, they've had long careers, established careers, and they're in a purse bid for an eliminator. Miguel Cotto is just a name that they're probably going to feed to Canelo or put in there against Floyd Mayweather or something. Something is going to happen here. What you're seeing is positioning.
What we're seeing is positioning, and also what we're seeing is that hardcore fans, and this is something that I think that hardcore fans either already know or need to accept and admit that they don't care about what we think or what we want. They care about the casual consumer that comes along and buys a pay-per-view once or twice out of the year. They know they could sell that name a lot quicker than a Trout, than a Lara, and that's what matters to them is the sales and the amount of money they can receive. Not about the sport. They don't care about. I mean, that's what I'm saying about Lopez, and a lot of folks didn't really understand what I was trying to get across on Twitter. Is that I feel that this is a slap to all the guys that have dedicated themselves and worked their asses at 154. You know, is this the way you receive them? Is this the way you respect these guys that are campaigning at 154 division? No. I don't think
sense.
So.
And then I asked, how and why is Josecito Lopez ranked number four? Because, you know, the WBC ratings, the new ones came out today. He's rated number four, magically. And I said, how is he ranked number four when he's never fought a 154-pounder in his entire career? And he said, Josecito Lopez won the WBC Silver Welter title. He's been signed to fight for the 154 title and has been rated in that division for that purpose. Thank you. That's their answer. This doesn't really make any sense. I mean, it's like a statement of facts that all add up to what?
But that has no
I don't
facts.
Understand. Yeah,
statement of facts with no facts in the mix. You know, it's like, is there truth?
Yeah.
giving you truth, but there is no truth in it, really. You know, it's one of those.
When I come out with the article, there's one glaring lie, in my opinion, that I'm going to point out. And I kind of gave them a chance to, like, fix it, and then they insisted on their lie. And I just kind of went, okay, thank you. So we'll see that in an article probably early next week.
I can't wait to catch a glimpse of it. You know, I'll probably read it before anybody else gets it because you sent me. But hey, let's patch in some fight fans here on Leaving the Ring. Let's patch in CT, who's been on hold for a little bit right now, patiently, and he's a regular caller. CT, what's up, brother? You want to talk on Canelo Lopez, Garcia, and Khan? What's on your mind, brother? You're on live.
Hey, what's up, Dave? I think you hit it right on the head. How you doing, Gabe?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
All right. I think you hit it right on the head, Dave, when you said it's like a smack in the face. So all of these guys are coming up in the 154-pound division that are trying to make a name for themselves, and all of a sudden, I mean, I understand, you know, they're kind of just rolling with this Josecito Lopez thing, which I think is a great story for boxing. You know, he came up from 140, but
right.
He really doesn't deserve it. I mean, he's too small. I really think he's too small. I think they're going off to his style. You know, the way he fights, they think it's going to be, you know, entertaining for the fans. But, you know, I don't really understand all of this right here. I mean, I was hoping he was going to stay at welterweight and see what he can do from that division. But, you know, for him to jump up and get Alvarez makes no sense.
This is my question, too. And when we get Josecito on, this is one of the questions I want to ask him is, okay, if you do win, because there is that possibility. You know, when the fight with Ortiz was announced, I said, this is a really tough fight. This is a real fight here. And a lot of folks didn't give him any sway with it. You know, they just doubted it. Said, no, he's going to be murdered. He, you know, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't have no business. As soon as he gets hit by Ortiz, obviously, I don't know if Ortiz is a bigger puncher than Canelo, but I am leaning that way, you know, because Canelo's mentioned by Roy Jones and HBO as a one-knockout power guy, and I haven't seen that, you know. But this is a much bigger division for Josecito to jump up, you know. But if he was to win, if he was able to take the 154-pounders' punches and able to muscle through it and outwork Canelo and get the win, my question is, and Gabriel, I'm pretty sure you're going to want to jump in this one here, is – do you stay at that division, or is this just a one-time deal, and then you vacate that belt? And does that belt, which probably will happen, is that belt will automatically go back to Canelo?
Well, I hate to say he's not going to win, but, I mean, it's because everybody thought he wasn't going to win the Ortiz fight. Although, you know, we knew it would be a good fight, and he would put up a tough test. He's jumping up to yet another weight class. I mean, it's not like they're putting him in against Floyd Mayweather. Canelo, I think, is beatable. And I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting fight. I haven't really sat down to, like, break down tape and think about style. You know, but Josecito is going to be the faster guy. He's going to move more. He's wily. He's tough as hell. But physically, I thought he was getting a little bit overwhelmed, especially early on, by Ortiz. You know, and then he got his jaw broke. It's just an interesting fight. I don't know. If he wins, he probably keeps the belt. Milks a little bit, they go to the rematch because it's going to be Canelo's first loss. So then he's probably going to make double what he was making the first time around. We get a cut of the pay-per-view action. He's going to make some good coin for doing this. So in a sense, yeah, it's a good move, you know, for a guy like him who nobody gave a shot to win the Ortiz fight. Now, he won a belt. He won, like, a belt of public opinion. And now he's, you know, there's always money in the defense. So now they're moving on to fight Canelo. For me, I mean, it depends on what you're doing with his career. If you wanted to reward him and get him a showcase fight on Boxing After Dark and put him in with a guy that he could easily beat, that actually isn't that great for the sport because that takes up a date for the showcase fight, but it helps his pocketbook, and then maybe you move towards something else. You know, it doesn't look like they're
right.
Going to build long-term with him, is I guess the point. What they're doing is just feeding him to the star, you know, because he's kind of a star killer. He just took out Ortiz. Now Canelo is going to get a piece of him, and then he'll look great because he just beat the guy that beat Ortiz. I mean, I guess they could. You know, there's no other direction for them to go. I thought they should have gone Lara. It's hard to say what Golden Boy's doing. particularly yes. because they have a ban on me and they don't answer questions.
Even without the ban, though, even without the ban, I mean, it was really, it's really hard to figure out where their head's at, you know, and I don't know, it just, you know, it is a young company, and maybe we are a little too harsh on them, but at the same time, if you're going to run a company and you decide to open up a company, you got to know the logistics of running it, you know? You got to know how to function your company so you make the amount for end, you know, ends meet at least. I don't know. Go ahead, CT. Go ahead, man. Throw in your thought and what else.
I'm going to talk about the Conor Garcia fight. I'm looking forward to this fight. I think it's pretty interesting to me because I think the biggest factor in this fight, I want to see, you know, to me, I think Garcia's going to fight a fighter that he hasn't faced, you know, a guy with that type of hand speed. I think Khan's pretty seasonal. He's fought a lot of, you know, different type of styles, but I think hand speed is going to be the difference here. I think it's going to take Garcia a couple rounds to adjust to Khan's hand speed, and we can see what he does after that. Because I think Garcia is a better boxer, but I just think, you know, Khan's hand speed and his arm length and, you know, his, I don't know, I think that's going to pave the way for Khan. He's going to win, like, a close decision. But
I like what you're saying, you know, and this is the thing is that when you mentioned right now that Garcia is going to have, he kind of gives up the beginning rounds to figure things out. Those rounds he really can't afford with Khan, you know. The way to beat Khan is it's clear. Put pressure on the guy. Garcia, I agree with you, he is a much better boxer, but boxing is not going to get the job done. Garcia cannot do what he did with Morales. It was a controlled pressure. It was almost like there was a hesitation of pressure that he put on Morales. With Khan, he can't do that. He's got to really apply it to him, and he's got to be smart. He's got to have that smart aggression, but he's got to be consistent. Khan will take – he will just eat you up, you know. And that's pretty much what I kind of see with Khan and Garcia is it is a good match, and I'm actually really looking forward to this match. I don't see a lot of people that are kind of pumped up about this match, but I actually think that this is going to be very entertaining. How entertaining, though? I don't know. Garcia to me still is a young pup. Going in with a guy that is a little bit more, a little bit more rounded and has way more experience of being in the position he's at right now. Garcia to me seems like a kid needs that motivation. That's why he has his dad doing all the talking, you know. And Khan does most of his talking with Freddie Roach, but Khan kind of takes the lead sometimes when it comes to trash talking. Garcia kind of just sits back and to me. He looks like he's just kind of just soaking everything in, you know, moment.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I saw when he fought Morales, he kind of hesitated with, you know, with some of his punches. And I think he, you know, to me, it's almost like he was trying to time what Morales was doing. I think against Khan, it's going to be a little bit harder for him to time Khan's punches. And I think you're 100% right. He needs to pressure Khan. But I haven't seen Danny in that type of fight yet, so I don't know if he can do it. I see him as the type of fighter he's always been.
Waiting to time Khan would be a terrible thing, I think, for him.
I think so, yeah.
He's not very fast. I mean, you can offset speed with timing, for sure. But I've never really thought of him as a particularly great counterpuncher. He's kind of, it's almost like, you know, a classic Philly fighter. He's, you know, without like being, you know, out of control with the comparison. But like, you know, like a Hopkins was not known as like, he's not like a murderous puncher or super fast. He was great at everything. If he caught you right, yeah, he could get you the hell out of there. But generally, he broke you down systematically like a good Philly fighter should. And Danny Garcia is a Philly fighter, and he's kind of good at a lot of things. He's not great at any one particular thing. It's going to be interesting. I mean, watching that the opening round of the opening few rounds with Peterson Khan, and Peterson told us this, he made a very clear decision. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to abandon the plan. I'm not going to box with this guy. I'm going to rough him up. Will Danny Garcia make that same kind of choice and go, okay, I'm trying to box. I'm trying to counter him. This isn't working. I'm going to go all in. The difference between those guys is that with Peterson, he'd been in with Tim Bradley. He'd been in with Victor Ortiz. He'd come up short before at that world-class level. Danny hasn't really come up short. He's only been at that world-class level with, you know, the ghost that goes to Barrett Morales. So we're going to see, and I guess Kendall Holt too, but different levels there, you know, and different circumstances. I don't know if that experience is going to serve him as well as it did Peterson. We'll see. And also, I'm wondering if Khan actually did work on his inside game, which would help him. I'm not trying to make fun of him. That actually might help him in this fight, because he's going to need it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He needs it in that. What do you mean?
I see him and Vladimir as like being the two fighters that I see that panic so much when somebody gets inside on them. Him and Vladimir Klitschko, they panic so bad when somebody gets inside and just roughs him up.
True. All right, brother, I'm going to put you back on hold, okay? Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
You know, speaking about Vladimir Klitschko and his fight with Tony Thompson that just happened this Saturday on Epic, man, you know, the sad part about it is these guys are just so good. And, you know, only complaint that we can have to argue is that one is they're so good, but the other one is that we'll never get to see them fight each other. You know, and that's the truth there of finding out who is the best heavyweight out there. I just keep telling people when they mention the heavyweight division, I said, hey, you know, until they retire, we're really not going to have a heavyweight division because they're just that good, you know?
Yeah, I mean, somebody just kind of hit me with a random thing that kind of threw me off. This is why I don't try not to look at Twitter when I'm on the radio. I had Jake Donovan people were kind of mad at me for what I said yesterday on Twitter about the silent media. And how I don't really see anybody rushing to my side to back up back me up in this media ban that Golden Boy has on me. You know, the Boxing Writers Association president himself told me, if you're looking to get reinstatement in the BWAA because I let my fees lapse, he said, then, you know, if you're looking for our support by joining us again, that's not the reason to join us. Basically saying, like, we're not going to do that for you. That's why I've kind of declined. It wasn't why I was joining, but, you know, I'm a boxing writer, and I don't think anybody, with or without the membership, I don't think anybody doubts that. And
right.
A member of their brotherhood who does nothing but try to speak the truth has been banned for doing his job. And I don't see the boxing writers doing shit for it. And this is the second time I've been banned, mind you, and they've been aware of it. They have not done anything for me. I don't see, you know, and I consider Jake Donovan a cool guy. We haven't talked on the phone ever, so I'm not going to call him a friend. We've never hung out. But I consider him a good guy, and I've heard nothing but good things. But, you know, I don't see anybody coming out. I Mark Ortega, the classic idiot that he is, said, what about Steve Kim? I haven't seen him do anything. I'm like, well, one, we work for the same company. So, you know, I do understand that he owns the company and that he has to make a living. We both can't get banned. But at the same time, I also know that Steve went to bat for me with Richard Schaefer. I know that because I work with the guy. So, of course, logic dictates if I'm not calling him out publicly and I'm still working for him and accepting paychecks from him, considering I've turned down jobs, you know, because for integrity reasons, kind of stands to reason. I hate to go on a rant. I don't want to make it this about myself, but a writer's just kind of attacking me. You know, I still work with you, Dave, because you have integrity and you've had my back nonstop. The rest of the media, I'm still waiting. I'd like to see it. What I think would be cool is if the media banned Golden Boy and they didn't give them any coverage.
That
would be kind of cool.
That would be great. Yeah. I think that's the stand that media has to do. I mean, you know, the crazy part is that as a media, and we're going to get off this topic, you know, but I want to just put my two cents. As the media, we have that power, but we don't use it. We allow these bullies, like these promoters, to dictate what we're going to write and what we're going to talk about. That amazes me so much, you know? I mean, I'm going to throw something out there, too. I'm a union plumber, and why do I need to take the time out of my day to speak something that you obviously – a lot of these media guys that are writing, you went to school for. That makes no sense to me. You know, why do I got to go out of my way to stick up for my sport when it's your job? That's your job to do it. You know, if you want to be a writer and you want to write for the ring and you want to do this, and you want to do, hey, I'm all for that. But you got to fight the fights that are actually in front of you. And don't be afraid to voice your opinion. Because that's the whole purpose of you getting into this business, is to expose the truth and call out the faults and stand by your sport. Stand by your sport. I stand by my sport. I love my sport. I defend my sport. Even though there are times it's very hard to defend, but I've always said fight fans are almost like, you know, abused women. We just don't know how to let go and walk away. It's the way things go. But let's pass it to some fight fans here. 347-215-7598. Call in. Let's talk 3 hours of boxing talk. We're going to be calling in Saul Alvarez Canelo in a short bit. And then we're going to have Josecito Lopez. I'm sorry. Lost my train of thought there for a moment. Let's get Avery, who wants to talk. Hey, and Shizura. What's up, brother? You're on live right now and leaving the ring.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, brother. Good. How you doing, man?
Doing great. I'm real excited about this fight. You know, I haven't been excited about a heavyweight fight since I think Lewis and Vitaly. And a lot of people are sleeping on this fight.
Sleeping? I mean, not even that's not even the word, man. They're like they're in a coma for this fight.
Yeah.
You know?
No one's talking about it. I'm like, this is one of the biggest fights of the year, and I don't know, man. But I'm excited about this fight and the whole storyline behind the incident in Munich and everything leading up to it. I mean, it's a real storyline. I don't know why people aren't even talking about it.
There's genuine bad blood between these two guys, you know?
Exactly.
I mean,
it's not fabricated.
It's not. This is not no WWE stuff. This is not an act-up job. There's genuine bad blood. And, you know, the thing is that when we talk about heavyweight divisions, when we think about the heavyweight division, you want excitement. You want to see two big men that are not looking to give you a boxing display. They're looking to give you, you know, a Herrera versus, you know, an Alvarado display. I think that's what we're going to get. We're going to get two guys, you know, we're hoping we're going to get two guys that are going to go in there. We definitely know Cesaro is going to go in there and try to knock the head off of Hay. But I think Hay, too, man, I think Hay, you know, has allowed Derek to get underneath his skin, has allowed really play in his mind, where Hay's almost the guy that he's normally the guy that does all the trash talking, you know, he's the James Toney of this era. But this time, you got a guy, man, that can back up his word. A guy that's not going to, you know, let you push him back. A guy that's willing to go street for street. I think this is a great fight. I can't wait for this fight. I'm just really sad that a lot of Americans don't really know about this fight. I'm sitting at work, and I'm like, you know, mentioning, and they're like, we never even heard of these two guys. And I said, you know, I got to give it up for my UK brothers out there, you know. I think sometimes, which they had a great fight that just passed this weekend, a lot of people didn't see that. You know, Brooke, and Jones. That was a great fight, and we're being deprived by that.
But do you think that Hay really wants to redeem himself from from the Vladimir Klitschko fiasco that happened last year, last summer? I really think he wanted to redeem himself. He wanted to show that he's deserving of a Klitschko fight.
You know, I don't know whether or not he wants to redeem himself. Obviously, he should try to redeem himself. He hasn't really showed, in my opinion, I haven't really seen that from him. Right now, he's got a guy that wants to just not take his head off. I think he wants to cut his head off, you know. Cut his head off, you know. You glass me, man. You glass me. So, there's to me right now, this is a boxing match with a lot of street credibility to it, and we're going to see some fireworks, man. We're going to see some fireworks.
Well, yeah.
I don't understand how people look at it like it's kind
of like it's what? Oh, I know.
People like, screw that, this is terrible. What they did at that press conference was awful. It put us in a bad light. I wasn't under the impression that we were in a good light, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you know, we've got bad drug policies, crooked ratings or ratings that look compromised. The Bible of boxing is owned by a promoter. We've got media bans. We got all kinds of problems, health and safety issues, no pension, nothing for these guys when they're retired or injured, no health plan, no actual like rhyme or reason to why anything in this sport happens except for the catchphrase, hey, that's boxing. And they're going to be mad about a good fight because two guys fought at a press conference? It reminds me of that movie Seven. Only in a world this shitty could you can be outraged by this. You know, the paralyzed guy. I mean, I think it's a good fight. I think it's going to be really, really fun. And it's normal-sized heavyweights. And we talked about this in the show like last year. When the Klitschkos go, what's going to be left is normal, traditional-sized heavyweights. I mean, there's a few guys who are pretty gigantic, like Tyson Fury. But bottom line is this is a good matchup, classic, you know, boxer-puncher versus, you know, a workman-like guy in Chisora who can punch a little bit and is tough as hell. I think he takes no for an answer. He won't take no for an answer. He's going to come forward all night long. He's going to give David Haye some problems. I'm picking him to win, personally. I like his style. I like the way he rolls.
Yeah, I'm picking Haye to win, but you know, I agree with that, though.
I don't know. I'll give you my pick a little later, brother. I'm going to put you back on hold, Avery. Thanks for calling in, man. Much appreciated.
All right, thank you, brother.
We're going to patch in some more fight fans here on Leaving the Ring. You want to call in 347-205-7598. We'll patch you in, get you in here, in on okay. So let's patch in Dax Khan, who wants to talk Haye versus Chisora and wants to join the conversation with Gabriel. What's up, brother? You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring.
How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. I can't complain. You know, didn't like a little bit of what I heard.
What was that? What part?
I didn't like, you know what, and I've spoken to Gabe before about this, and I was actually going to do a story on his research with, you know, the PED scandal and the use of it. But, you know, I think it's a little bit unfair for him. I can understand his points where he's talking about people inside his own company, but for him to go and blast every writer out there for not joining in the in his quest, I think that's a little bit unfair. Why aren't we blasting every other fighter out there?
What do you mean by my quest?
Gabe, you're out there, you know, I respect you. Me and you have talked on the phone before. I respect what you're doing. You know, we've talked through emails before. I think it's great what you're doing, and I support what you're doing. But, you know,
it's a Billy C show, right?
Correct.
And you guys were going to have me on, then you decided not to.
That... You know, because, you know what, there was a lot of things that, you know, Gabe, you know,
Dax, hang on a sec. You didn't call me to ask me. You just assumed. I heard you guys blasted me. You didn't call me to find out.
Did you ever hear me blast you?
I heard somebody told me that Billy C had turned
off. Did you ever hear me blast you?
I just answered your question.
But
you guys did. But you guys decided not to have me on, right? Why not?
Did you ever hear me blast you?
I just answered that question. Answer mine. Why did you not have me on?
Why are you blasting every writer?
Why can't you answer the question?
Why didn't we have you on? Maybe,
yeah.
Gabe, because you know what? Look how you're conducting yourself now.
How is he conducting himself?
How am I conducting myself? I'm asking you a question.
You just sat there minutes ago. You blasted every writer. Every writer for not sticking up for you.
We're going to get there, but let me ask you this. We did a pre-interview. Why didn't I come on the show?
Because, you know, we never finished following up.
We had three segments.
We never followed up everything else beforehand.
What are you guys, Nightline? How many pre-interviews do you need?
You're answering your own question.
Not really. I'm just saying, what was your problem with what I wrote? Do you have a problem with the things I wrote? Is that why you didn't have me on?
I don't have a problem with the things you wrote, but you know what? We're not going to allow you just to come on and just, you know, blast everybody.
When have I ever done that? I refer to people as silent media. Yeah, I've been banned for doing my job.
And that's unfair. I agree that's unfair. And
so
I stuck up for you.
People. I'm not blasting people for not getting on the PED thing. That's...
I stuck up for you on Facebook when it was posted on there about the credential being taken away from you from the Golden Boy. You had received something saying that, you know, for you were put on to
what I actually said about what I was doing? I was unfollowing people on Twitter who were silent. I don't know if that wasn't clear, but I said unfollows are going to happen because of the silent media. We've never even been friends on Facebook, as far as I know. I'm looking at you now, and we're not friends. I mean, we talked on the phone. I thought everything was cool. You seem upset with me. I'm not upset with you.
I'm not upset with you personally. And again, as we talked on the phone, I said I support what you're doing.
But when I
sat here and listened to you talking about, you know, you're mad at all the boxing writers out there.
I'm not mad. I think it would be nice if I saw some solidarity. Instead, I see most people kind of just rooting and snorting at the trough. I don't see anybody writing and questioning, asking good questions, finding out things that I'm banned from Golden Boy. Where's the guys asking Golden Boy about, you know, Quillen and Wright and why you saw that throughout those samples? Why hasn't anybody asked Richard Schaefer, had him on the show today? Why did you ban him? And furthermore, where did you guys hear the rumor that Gabe was spreading this round? Where did you guys hear the rumor in the first place? And where did you hear that Gabe was? I mean, you guys aren't really doing your job. Don't tell me you're a boxing writer. What are you doing to further the sport? What are you doing to get down to the bottom of things? Don't come on here in front with me, man, but I'm not doing my job. You're not doing your job.
I didn't say you were doing your. You weren't doing. I said you were blasted, offended the fact that, you know, you're blasting everybody.
Well, I'm sorry, but your apathy offends me.
But it's okay for you to have your opinion, but it's not okay for anybody else to have their opinion.
It was the fact. What have you done? If you could show me that you're doing something, awesome. I have a canon of about 20 articles that I could roll out. There's a reason why you wanted me on your show.
I didn't ask you to come on my show. You contacted me.
I didn't contact you.
Well, matter of fact, Jesse contacted me.
Yeah, Red. He contacted a lot of people. I did tons of interviews during that period because I thought it was a period of education.
And we wanted to
get a lot of information out.
And you know something?
But
what do I do for the sport? I'll tell you, I am one of the most active people in this sport who makes sure that, you know what, anti-drug, anti-violence, anti-gang, you know, for the youth. I'm sorry, because I'm not into Gabe's quest to worry about the P's. You know what? That's why we have commissions.
So now it's my quest. I think if you're waiting on the commissions, I think you're part of the problem. And people like you have kept this sport in the dark this whole time, waiting for other people to do things.
I've kept the sport in the dark. That's funny because, you know, I remember going on air internationally, blasting Texas for losing urine samples.
Well, yeah, saying things is easy. What have you done? Have you uncovered things? Have you constantly stayed on it? Have you followed up?
Yes, I have.
How so?
Yes, I've wrote countless articles. I've done countless interviews.
Countless.
I blasted on countless shows. And again,
hit me on Twitter with them. I would like to send out all these countless articles you've done.
Yeah.
Illuminating.
Hey, Dax, I'm going to put you back on hold, brother, because we got to get our interview in right now.
Yeah,
we're like 8 minutes away.
You wanted to do a three-part interview with me. We're all excited. Something made you go away, and I think it's a disinformation. I think you think that I spread the rumor about Floyd Mayweather, and I promised these things, just like all the other sheeple who bought that Scoop Polonowski article that misinterpreted my work. You missed the whole point, Dax. I printed that letter about Floyd Mayweather to help other journalists. And you know what? Other journalists that have been sent legal threats like that by Golden Boy thanked me for it.
You know,
that was the whole point.
It seems like unless everybody joins in what Gabe wants, you know what, then everybody else is wrong.
Well,
I don't take it like that.
How long have you been in the sport? Let me ask you this. How long have you been in the sport?
20 years.
Right. I've only been in 7. The sport went to seed on your watch. Your apathy offends me, sir. Get off my show.
Yeah, but you know what? Get a show.
Okay, Dax. No one's ever heard of you. No one cares. Please.
Huh. Get a show. Isn't that what you're calling in right now? Anyway.
Yeah, I think you actually called my show, dummy.
Oh, we'll get much deeper into what you were talking about, you know, because I think a lot of writers have kind of misunderstood what you were trying to say. I understood what you were trying to say. You know, I think there's a time now that because this is not the first ban that is being put. And see, that's the thing is that and I'm going to just put my two cents really quick. You know, the ban of what's happening with Gabriel Montoya, there are other people in that line as well that have tried to write something or try to ask questions. And all of a sudden, their credentials are lifted away. I think that's ridiculous. I think that should be stopped. And, you know, sometimes, and I've said this before, people hang on words not really understanding the message. But if you were looking to get the dark cloud out today, you certainly did. You got your moment, the dark cloud, here on Leaving the Ring.
It is a little cloudy in L.A. today. What the hell? I mean, what the hell is that? I'm sorry that offends you. Like, you know, what's awesome, at the same time he's getting mad at me, Jake Donovan's like I believe the managing editor for Boxing Scene, who I'm not very fond of. I actually do like Jake. He and I crack each other up. And he basically said, hey, wait a minute, you know, like, I have done stuff for you. You just haven't seen it. I asked him what he did. He responded civilly. I followed him back on Twitter. He followed me right back. We're all good. Well, come on my show and start insulting me and start being rude. And the fact is, he came on, they wanted me on their show after Red, who handles, he handles getting guests for our show. He handles PR for me. You know, things were very busy during that time, and I was getting a lot of interview requests, and I needed somebody to help me out, and Red stepped up and was nice enough to do it. They wanted to do a three-part series, and they were very excited. I've actually reached out to them several times. That's the first time he's actually responded back. So who's the spineless jellyfish, and who's me? I don't know. You tell me. Let's move on to some boxing. Jeez.
Yeah, let's talk some boxing here. We're going to be calling in right now, Canelo, in 5 minutes. We do have our translator with us. If you got anything you want to yell at George Jimenez, man, you certainly can. I'm pretty sure George would enjoy that.
I would like to get it. I would. George, I have a piece to pick to you. You didn't buy me enough drinks in Atlantic City when I was
exactly.
there.
Exactly. You know, George needs to be rained on. You know, he needs some rain on him. On his hair. And his
I don't want to reveal anything, but I think he was doing pretty well within the drink department they gave. We'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. Very well played.
And just to make this clear, too, like, I like Billy C and I like Daxcon, man. You know, a little surprised that Dax was that upset. And, you know, I think really honestly, Dax and a lot of other writers, you know, is that you're taking it kind of out of content of where you were going and maybe should explain a little bit more, you know.
I got to be honest. I wasn't aware he was a writer. I don't know who that is. I'm not trying to be rude. I've never read anything Dax Khan has written. When I got contacted, I thought it was one of the Khan people, and it was like, oh, it's from Billy C's show. I like Billy. You know, I have no problem with them. I had somebody emailing me and say, hey, even Billy C's turned on you now. I'm like, okay. Like, I don't really, you know, I've listened to the show before. I'm not a regular listener. Dax has a problem with me. There's probably better forums, like, you know, the fact that you have my phone number. Try that.
And honestly, that's the way I kind of felt. I was like, this conversation really should be on you know, a private phone line. Yeah, you know, not the radio show. But, hey, I was like, if you want to, you know, you want to dish it out on Leaving the Ring, that's the whole reason why we call it Leaving the Ring. You're going to dish it out. We're going to leave it right there exactly where you picked it up from. But, oh, man, that's the one thing about a live show. Just never know. You know, George, you never know what you're going to get.
Absolutely.
Man.
I do listen to Billy C, and to be honest, I haven't heard him say anything about Gabe. He hasn't mentioned Gabe in a while.
He seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah.
I listen to Billy C. I think he's a great guy. I like, you know, what he comes forth with and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, hey, man.
What's funny to me is that people think I'm being combative. Like, you're being combative. Like, no, I'm just not letting you ramble, and I'm trying to get to the point so that we can get past this. I do cut people off sometimes, but it's just to, you know, people will ramble. I ramble. So it's like, well, what is your point? Like, get to your point, and then we'll deal with it. But don't sit there and don't be like that. I'm just chilling. You know, we're just trying to do a show.
All I got to say, it takes a dick to know a dick.
I'm not a dick. I'm an asshole. That's the difference.
Oh, man. Let's move on. Let's get this rolling here. If you want to call in, 347-255-7598. Don't worry, fight fans. I'm putting the junkyard dog back on the leash here. And I can't believe it. You know, sometimes these things just catch me off guard, you know, especially here on this show. You know,
that is the worst comeback of the year. Get a show. What did you just call in
for? That was great. Oh, and it's funny because if somebody doesn't agree with us, you know, that's the first thing they end up like, and your show sucks. I hate your show. It's like, okay, man. Okay, whatever. You know. Anyways, let me get this number here. And
I just don't want to mute myself. It's just, you know.
Too much
I'm
fun
sorry,
here on.
Yeah,
you know?
I'll put a column about it. And you can see that.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for all those articles.
He's writing them now as we speak. So let's call it.
Mark Ortega is threatening to because I called him an idiot. Do I ether this guy or do I just not get involved? Go ahead, Mark. Try and ether me. God, I would love to. I would love
I'm
to.
I'm sorry, but the person you called has a voice mailbox.
Let's call back again.
Yeah, let me ether Mark before he does. Yeah, I called him recently and I tried to involve him in some of the things I was working on. I gave him good advice. What does he do? How does he pay me back? By trying to talk shit about my partner, Steve Kim, in person while talking to me and saying I'm disingenuous on Twitter. Mark, the offer that I had on the table to you, it's not on the table anymore. In fact, you're not invited to my house. So get away from the table. Yeah. I think he's a nice guy.
I'm sorry.
He's not a bad writer. He knows how to like be a junkyard dog, but he's just got a 10-cent head when it comes to maturity. And it just shoots him in the foot every time. Sorry, Mark. That's why I call you an idiot. You've got a lot of opportunities, and you always screw them up. So,
I have nothing to say about that.
You have nothing. You don't have to. That's right.
You know, trying to get. Let's see if we can get him on. Let's get Canelo on here with us on Leaving the Ring. Hopefully, they answer this time. And. Not. Well.
I'm sorry, but the person you called.
Okay. We have to try him back on about another 2 more minutes in here. Let's patch in some fight fans here on Leaving Ring. Let's talk some boxing while we're waiting. And let's talk to Adam, who wants to talk Hay and Shizura and Martinez and Chavez at the press conference. What's up, brother? You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring.
Hey, man. What's up? What's up? Huge fans.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Especially you, Gabriel. I've been following you on Twitter and everything. So, appreciate it, man.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, I went to the Chavez Martinez presser, man. It was intense, bro. It was crazy.
The Vegas or the...
No, the New York today.
Oh, the New York today.
Yeah. It was intense. I thought Samson was going to get it in with Carlos Beltran, right?
Yeah,
it's always kind of funny when these guys travel with each other all week.
Yeah,
you know, I remember with Oscar, like when he was done with Floyd that long tour. By the end of it, he was like, "Dude, I just want to kill this guy. Like, get this guy away from me." I think the longer they hang out with each other and hear it, the more they're like, "You know what? I don't like you." You know, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was there, and you could like feel the tension, like just building up to the fight. Like, just more people they're like hyping it up a lot now.
I'm really excited. They didn't even need to do the trash talking. I'm really excited about the fight. You know, just not excited about the other things that are kind of surrounding the fight. The same day weigh-in, the no testing, no this. I don't know, you know.
It's funny because I actually spoke to Martinez about what do you think about the USADA Nevada if it's in it. And because I told him, I'm like, hey, you know, a lot of people have been getting popped lately when USADA Nevada stepped into the fight. So I told him, do you think Chavez is into, like, is he on something? He's like, well, I really don't want to answer that. You know, you try to, like,
Yeah, he didn't want to go near it.
Yeah, I guess, like, because he's close to the fight, he doesn't want to, like, ruin it.
Well,
so.
I think, too, you know, I get this every once in a while on people on Twitter. You know, like, somebody even today was kind of intimating that somebody was using Donaire. He's got cramps in his legs, so now he's using. Everybody's a doctor. Everybody's an expert now.
Right.
The four things I broke, and then particularly the three that I really talked about, Tarver and Berto and Peterson, they're all in-depth explanations. I didn't go public until, you know, all the B or the A samples had been, well, in the case of Berto and Peterson, like A and B samples had been tested. In the case of Tarver, it was just the A sample. you know, but until they actually test positive, you really can't just start speculating. Particularly myself at this point, if people go, "You're an expert," which I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but you can't speculate like that. And maybe that's what Martinez was doing. But also, I think he just doesn't want to. Kind of a classy guy, and I don't think he wants to throw that out there.
He's very respectful. He's very respectful fighter inside and outside the ring about what he's doing, anti-bullying, you know, and all these other programs.
Right.
He's a very respectful guy. But, you know, I've seen him in, like, the sparrings in, like, New York, you know, like 2 years ago for the fight. And he's a respectful guy, man. I like Martinez, man. He's a chill, cool dude.
Yeah, I like his style. I like the way he behaves and in and out of the ring. I hate to say it, but I wish the guy spoke. Although he spoke English at the presser and it's actually pretty good.
He spoke better English than Bob Arum.
Wow!
You said it.
That's funny. He did.
That
he spoke,
is
I was
hilarious.
Like, whoa! Look at him. That he's a fast study. But you almost wish like he was a guy that. I wish that he had like a whole, you know, 20-year career and he spoke English and was a role model for that long, because boxing could use people like that.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I've got a cause, but they actually do it. You know, they actually are about it. I love that.
You don't see that many humble guys in and out of the ring that much. Especially, you know, Martinez, he's just something like spectacular. I guess if we would have known him like in his younger days, you know, boxing would be more fun, especially like if we had more boxers like him. You know, it would be a more friendly sport instead of like all hatred. You know, even though sometimes it's like fun to like hate your opponent to like live, you know, live the fight. But you know, sometimes it's also good to be the nice guy outside the ring, and to like have like people look up to you.
Yeah, you know, and the sad part about it is that the nice guy like Andre Ward, you know, of the sport and Martinez is not really. That embraced and appreciated.
No,
you know?
I agree.
And it sucks. Because we
that's
do need guys
true.
Like that. You know, we do need guys, you know, that's going to carry the sport with some dignity. You know, because it's already enough. This is a violent sport. You know, we do sit down and watch two guys try to pound their heads, you know, and knock each other out. But at the same time, doesn't mean you got to carry yourself like an animal outside of the ring, you know. And
right.
That should be appreciated, you know.
As a perfect example, look at Pacquiao. You know, he's a really humble guy. You know, he's into
right.
his religion, and he's a more like a nice guy. You know, he just like says like when I'm in the ring, it's just, you know, it's something different. I can't, you know, I'm doing my job, and it is true. You know, boxing is a job. They get paid to do what they do, but I guess, you know, just like. Be good before the fight, you know. Don't just like trash talk your way the whole time and, you know, be an asshole, you know.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Hey, Adam, I'm going to
yeah.
put you back on hold, brother, because we're going to try Canelo one more time, okay?
All right, man, it's cool.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Adam.
And no problem, Gabriel.
Let's try him again and see if we can get Canelo on with us here on Leaving the Ring. And hopefully we can. There we go. And I know I have George on. George, you there?
Bueno,
¿puedo hablar con Canelo?
Así, ahí está.
Órale, gracias.
Ahí le va.
Okay. So we'll let George take over, because, you know, my Spanish is slang.
A la orden.
Hola.
Buenas noches.
¿Cómo estás?
Buenas noches, Canelo. ¿Cómo estás?
¿Cómo está? Muy bien, ¿y usted?
Bien. Hey, primero, gracias otra vez para tenerle tiempo para hablar con nosotros aquí en el radio, en el Living Ring. Nosotros, yo, David Duenes y Gabriel Montoya, vamos a hablar en inglés y Jorge Jiménez, él va a hablar en español, ¿ok?
Perfect.
All right, good. All right, really quick, George, my first question is going to be for first off, congratulations on finally getting a match. You know, I know how tough it's been. He hasn't been able to, you know, secure a match. The three fights that he had in line have all fallen apart.
Sí, buenas noches. Bueno, primero que nada te quiero felicitar porque al fin se va a dar una pelea ya después de haber tratado varias veces de conseguir un oponente para ti.
Así es, pues estamos muy contentos. Ya le estábamos, ya se nos habían caído tres rivales con el último y pues ahora estamos muy contentos, ¿no? Ya listos, preparándonos y pues empezando a trabajar.
said that they're very happy, you know, that they finally got a fight. You know, three opponents, you know, couldn't make it to the fight, and they're just very happy and training hard.
You know, I respect all fighters, you know, because you do something that is by far one of the most difficult jobs in the world to do. I'm curious, though, is he just a participant in the sport, or is he a fan of the sport, meaning that he watches the sport consistently like the way we do?
Dave pregunta, well, dice que él respeta a todos los peleadores y sabe que en el boxeo es un deporte muy difícil. Él te quiere preguntar si tú eres un fanático del boxeo o solamente eres un participante.
Ah, me gusta el boxeo. El boxeo es mi vida, me gusta en lo general y pues estoy muy contento con que Dios me haya dado este don para el boxeo y me gusta en todo lo general el boxeo.
He says, no, he likes it. He's very very happy to be in the sport. It's his life. And he's very happy with the skills that God has given him.
Now, I understand the skills, but what I'm asking is that does he pay close attention to the sport, like the divisions, the weight classes, you know, of right now, not of the past, not what got him interested into the sport, but the overall of what is going down in the present?
David quiere saber más si tú sigues al deporte bastante, o sea, si estás siguiendo todas las divisiones, todos los pesos, si sabes, sigues a todos los campeones o solamente en los que están en tu división.
No, sé de varios campeones, veo muchas peleas que alcanzo a ver, veo muchas peleas de muchas divisiones y pues sí, sé de muchos campeones.
He said he watches a lot of fights, he knows, and he watches fights fighters from different divisions.
Okay, thank you for answering that, because my question, now this is my question, my real question for him is that, does he understand why fans are upset that Josecito Lopez is getting the chance of fighting him when there are other 154-pound fighters that are available for him? Why was this the decision for himself and his team to take on a smaller man?
Bueno, él te quiere preguntar ahora más específicamente si tú entiendes por qué algunos fanáticos no están muy contentos con la elección de Josecito López para la pelea, haciendo de que él viene subiendo casi dos divisiones.
No, sí, mucha gente no está contenta nunca con nada, ¿no? Pero obviamente sabemos que Josecito López se ganó esa oportunidad. Sabemos que es un peso menor, pero Josecito López se ganó la oportunidad. Paquio viene desde peso mini mosca o mosca por ahí, entonces creo que cada quien se gana su oportunidad. Él se la ganó, yo iba a pelear con Víctor Ortiz y él le ganó a Víctor Ortiz, lo noqueó, entonces creo que se la ganó muy bien.
He says you know, he understands that many people are never happy, but he believes that Josecito López earned a shot by beating Ortiz. He gave the example of Pacquiao moving up in weight, and he believes Josecito López is doing the same thing.
Pass it over to Gabriel, because I do have another question, but I'm going to pass it over. I don't want to hog up Canelo. Go ahead, Gabriel.
Hello, welcome to the show, Canelo. This is Gabriel Montoya with MaxBoxing.com. We've spoken many times in the past. Looking at the rest of the division, I know you don't want to look past Josecito, but Richard Schaefer has said that he wants to basically take you through all the rest of the champions so that you can unify the division. Is that the ultimate goal here?
Te está hablando ahora Gabriel Montoya de Max Boxing. Dice que sin mirar más adelante de la pelea de López, él escuchó que Schaefer tiene planeado para ti unificar todos los títulos en la división. Quiere preguntarte si esos son los planes en tu futuro.
Sí, yo quiero los mejores, ¿no? Quiero los mejores. Nosotros estamos, queríamos a Miguel Ángel Cotto, queremos a Miguel Ángel Cotto, a ver si se hace en diciembre y si no en mayo del próximo año, pues nosotros estamos listos, queremos a esos peleadores, a los mejores. Siempre los hemos estado buscando, siempre hemos hablado con la gente de Oscar, con Schaefer, con Oscar, con lo que queremos a los mejores, Floyd Mayweather, Miguel Cotto. Me siento listo, tengo hambre de ser el mejor y ellos son los mejores.
He said yes, he personally wants the best. He mentioned Cotto. He said he would love to fight him in December. If December is not possible, then in May next year. He said he's always asked Oscar that, you know, he wants the best fighters in the division. He also asked Schaefer, and he feels he's ready for the best.
Is there a preference for you? I mean, each title holder has a very different style. Lara is a boxer puncher, southpaw. Austin Trout is also a southpaw, but he's more of a boxer cutie. Cotto is Cotto. He's very versatile. Is there an order that you would like to take them in terms of, like, you know, skill and notoriety, or does it not matter?
Gabriel te pregunta si tienes alguna preferencia a quién quieres pelear siguiente. Nos mencionó unos nombres como Lara, Trout, Cotto. ¿En qué orden prefieres tú pelearlos o a quién, o sea, tienes algún plan en los que quieres pelear en el futuro?
Con Miguel Ángel Cotto. Miguel Ángel Cotto es uno de los mejores libras por libras y ese es el que estamos buscando.
They're looking for Cotto. That's who they want next. I mentioned the other names and he just brought up Cotto.
What is it about Cotto? I mean, obviously, it's a huge pay-per-view, and he's a great fighter, and you'd want to probably knock him out, whereas Mayweather didn't. That way you could set up the Mayweather fight. Is that the goal?
Él pregunta que qué es lo que te gusta de la pelea con Cotto, si es por el que es un nombre grande o porque es un buen peleador, o si tal vez quieres pelear con él y tal vez buscar el knockout, algo que no pudo hacer Mayweather, para después buscar una pelea con Floyd Mayweather en el futuro.
Sí, Cotto es un gran peleador, es uno de los mejores libras por libra, como te digo, y pues obviamente estoy buscando a los mejores, o Mayweather, quien sea de esos dos, o cualquiera. Yo estoy listo para pelear, yo soy peleador, nací para esto, y aquí estoy listo para cualquiera.
He said, yeah, you know, he believes Cotto is a top pound for pound. He said, if Cotto is not available, then he will fight Mayweather, he's ready for the best.
How much is he involved in making the decisions in his camp about the fighters that are chosen for him to face?
¿Cuánto involucrado tú estás en escoger a tus oponentes?
Pues uno obviamente opina, ¿no? Pero siempre el equipo de trabajo es el que se encarga de eso. Yo me preparo, yo peleo con quien sea, yo solo entreno y yo peleo con quien me ponga.
He definitely gives his opinion, but his team is the one that makes the choices. He's the one that fights, and his job is to get ready and be for the fight.
What does he think that is the responsibility for a champion?
¿Qué crees tú que es la responsabilidad de un campeón?
No te escuché, perdón.
En tu opinión, ¿qué es la responsabilidad que tiene un campeón?
No, bueno, pues obviamente siempre prepararse al 100% y dar lo mejor de siempre de nosotros y hacer las cosas bien. Lo que se hace bien no puede salir mal.
He said he feels that he needs to prepare 100%, give 100%, and do things right.
And meaning in doing things right, what does that mean? I mean, doing things right in his division alone?
Más específicamente, ¿qué quieres decir con hacer las cosas bien?
Hello.
¿Me escuchas?
Did we lose him? Let's call him back. I think we did lose him.
I don't like this guy's question. I'm out
of here. I'm sorry, but the person you called has a voicemail box that has...
Let's try again.
But the person you called.
Well, let me give it a second here, because hopefully we can get him back on. Maybe there was a disconnection here, or maybe we just got hung up on. because not the first time it's happened on the even ring. come on.
I'm sorry, but the person you called has a voicemail box that...
Give it a few more seconds here on Leaving the Ring. We had Canelo on, and we were going to start asking a little bit more. I don't know if we would stay squeezing, but just to get some more clarification about this bout here, I do want to talk to him about what he thinks Josecito Lopez poses as a threat to him, you know, and what he has to solve to be victorious.
So I'm sorry, but the person you called has
I'm
a voicemail.
Sorry, but we're not going to answer that question, Dave.
I know.
Well,
I think he knew exactly where I was going with this.
You think?
Yeah, I was going to say the last time that I interviewed him, it seems like he always answers the questions pretty much the same way. It's really hard to get something out of him. That's just my opinion. I mean, you can ask the question three different times in different ways, and he'll find a way of, you know, he prepares well, I guess. You know, he has like a script that he goes through.
I've interviewed him since, you know, I think his first event here in L.A. and in the U.S., and he is. He's a lot smarter than people give him credit for. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Savvy. I think he's much more savvy of the media than Chavez Jr. was. I think. I mean, even though Junior's got experience, but there's a little bit of like defiance in Junior. Like, yeah, I'm the son of a legend. You know, you got a problem with who I am. Kind of gets in your face a little bit. Whereas,
I'm sorry, but the person you called.
Yeah.
Exactly. Whereas Canelo hits you with that every time.
I'm sorry.
More political. His voice actually turns into a female robot, and he just says, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to answer that question." Like he's playful, and he knows how to talk to you, but it's never really.
Don't worry, I'm going to get you, dude. Hang up on me. I'm going to get my questions in. If I'm not going to get it here on Leaving the Ring, I'm definitely going to get it on the camera. So either way, hopefully it was just a bad connection or what. I mean, you know, we could be jumping the gun here, but. Just when I was about to, you know, this was my question, everybody, is, you know, what does he think his responsibility is 154? And what I was waiting for was for him to explain to me, and at the end of that, I was going to ask, then why are you not fighting another 154-pounder?
That's the thing. That's where we were going.
And you know, I try to butter him up. So we couldn't see where we were going to go with it. But he is slick. Slick, man. He's a lot slicker than George, I'll tell you that. You know?
Oh, he is.
You know, you can have a conversation with George, you know. George, it only takes him two beers and he'll tell you everything you want to know.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
A Modelo, though.
A Modelo, yeah. You don't drink Modelo. What are you talking about?
No, I drink Stella.
You see, it's a great beer. It's a great beer. You know, I'm going to try one more time. Let's try one more time, man, because I definitely want to get my questions in to Canelo Alvarez and at least have the chance, you know, to kind of more understand, you know. And it's not, I'm not attacking him. I don't think we're attacking him. But I think the fight fans have a right to know what was the train of thought.
I'm sorry, but the person you called has a voicemail box.
There you go, fight fans. We tried. We try to do our job. Well, good thing we're going to have Josecito Lopez here on Leaving Ring. We only had Canelo for, I don't know what, maybe 10 minutes. And I thought the interview was going to get better and better by asking his questions. But unfortunately, no, fell off. George, thank you again, brother, for always coming on and being our translator. Much appreciated, man. Take your time out of your day. Be sure to tune in and listen to George every Monday night on Noche de Boxeo. One of the hosts do a fantastic show. It's all in Spanish. You know, you want to hear some good Spanish, you go on their show. You want to hear some bad Spanish, you come on our show. So.
Hey, before I go, I got a question for both of you guys. What do you think about the possibility of boxing being on regular TV, free TV? And is that really a good thing for boxing?
Free TV. What's free TV? I pay for Comcast. What do you pay for?
Oh, like, you know, like ABC, you know, Fox, CBS.
You were going to tell me that you plug into the neighbor. That's how you get free TV.
Well, that's another story.
Well, I mean, getting in on that terrestrial TV, I mean, I think people, like, romanticize the past, and they want things the way they used to be. And, like, to Dave's point, it's like we all pay for TV at this point. You know, some people just have basic cable, but, you know, most people don't. So, I mean, to me, if you can get it on CBS and NBC in prime time, not like, you know, after dark or randomly on Saturday morning, you know, but like in prime time and make that a regular show, that would be a victory. I think it would be a great thing. Kathy Duva's could have ended up doing that with Main Event. From what I understand, they have a whole new output deal. I think it could end up being like 16 dates, and they're going to get on regular TV. That I would like to see. Even this fight, you know, Canelo, if Dave hadn't scared him off, I was going to ask him.
Jake, thanks. It's not a first. Ask some of my exes, you know, it's not a first I scare him off, you know.
It's like funny to me that I mean, he is a very active champion. You know, he fought 5 times in 2010, 4 times in 2011. This year they seem to be getting him off to a slower start. He, you know, once in May, probably only going to fight maybe 1 or 2 more times. People kind of get crazy with the Josecito thing. I mean, it's not the fight I wanted to see. I don't really understand it. It seems odd. Good for Josecito. I'm going to congratulate him when he comes on the show. It's going to be. It's not like he's not going to bring it. So it's not the death of boxing. And if he was fighting 5 times or 4 times this year, we could feel, okay, this is his gimme one. I mean, he just fought Shane Mosley, who was, you know, not a tough fight. Now he's going to fight Josecito, who's not. He was barely a 147-pounder for a few minutes, and now he's moving up to 154. But if it's leading somewhere, which is why I was asking my questions, where are you going? And obviously it's going to be probably Miguel Cotto in December at the Madison Square Garden. Then I'm fine with this. But even that is a faded former star who's probably going to get beat up against a younger, stronger man. But it's still, they're building a product that's only 21 years old and 40 fights in because he didn't have an amateur career. I'm not too crazy about how things are going, but there's a plan there. I want to know just how much he tells Golden Boy what's what, because he is his own promoter. So I'm wondering, you know, I'm not ready to. This is the death of boxing. I mean, to me, all the other problems that I mentioned tonight on the show, those are the death. That's the death of boxing. Apathetic writers, death of boxing. you know, but fights. You know, a lot of people are going to watch it. It's going to be an action fight. I can't get that upset. I don't know. That's just maybe I've been in the sport long enough that I just don't care about certain things. But it doesn't bother me all that much. It's not what I wanted to see. I thought Golden Boy, really, if they really wanted to do good for boxing, they should have moved back to October. Kirkland would have been ready. Do that pay-per-view like October 6th. Swallow your pride and try to get September 15th taken care of in advance next year.
I'm stunned. You know? I'm really stunned right now. You know, I can't believe
I got hung up on.
You know, I mean, you take punches for a living, dude. I mean, if you did hang up, or we just lost connection, I don't know. I guess we're going to have to find out, you know. But if you did hang up, you take punches for a living. You couldn't take a few tough questions that I think, honestly, as a person that pays my cable bill, you know, and pays for pay-per-view fights and buys memorabilia and does all this other thing, I think you owe us the answer. And to all the listeners that tuned in to listen to what your answer is and for you to justify the Lopez fight. I hope I'm wrong that he didn't hang up. I'm stunned, you know? I'm more stunned about this than George deciding to get married at such a young age. He wants to join the club, you know, the no ma'am club. Anyways, congratulations to you, brother. I told you that before, man, but the date is getting closer, you know.
Yes, I feel the news around my neck.
Do you?
Nah, we already live together, so it's all good.
Yeah, she seems like a great woman, and she writes for Leaving the Ring. I got nothing bad to say about her because she does write for Leaving the Ring. She does a fantastic job. You guys make, obviously, a great, great pair. I was just hoping that me and Canelo could make a great pair in the interview. But obviously, you know, there's not going to be any wedding bells between us right now.
No. Oh, I was going to say, just a quick comment on the September 15th date. Do you think that maybe because of the deal they have with the Mexican TV, they didn't want to move that, they didn't want to lose that, because that is a big date in Mexico. So do you think maybe that's why they were just so stubborn with keeping the date?
It's a big day. You know, I mean, it's a Mexican Independence Day. You can promote all around it, I guess. You know,
to me, keeping the date is more of showing who has the bigger, you know, cajones and who's going to push who out of the sport. That it's very personal. It's not professional. It's not the way you're supposed to. You got to think smart. I think there's enough money in the pot for all these guys to make money, but there's just so much greed, you know, and they could sit there and say there isn't, but there is some greed there, you know, and I don't know. I mean, however Golden Boy sells their fight against the Top Rank, it's going to be amazing to me because their track run of promoting fights have not been that great. So,
yeah, and on paper, I think the Martinez-Chavez fight is bigger. I think there's a lot of people waiting for that for whatever reason. Either they like Chavez Jr. or they don't like him. But people are going to tune in for that. So
right. The buildup has been there. You know, anticipation of wanting to see that fight. It's there already. You know, where Josecito and Alvarez, that's a different ball game. You know, and that's why I say, you know, there's got to be a little bit of magic of marketing. And the track run of Golden Boy has not been that great. I mean, perfect example. Look at Garcia and Khan. You know?
I
keep hearing there's ticket, you know, sales that they're hurting. You know, they're back at it again, giving away tickets, you know. But, hey, George, thanks again, brother. I appreciate it, man.
All right, guys.
You know, like always, bro. Take care.
All right, we'll talk again. Thanks.
Thanks, man.
This is Pat and some Fight Fans. While we wait, we're going to be getting Josecito Lopez here on Leaving the Ring. And, you know, been told that maybe Canelo was warned by Jose Suleiman of The Voice. You are too rough. You are too rough. I don't know, man. I'm still, like I said, I'm still stunned about it. But let's get some Fight Fans on here. And let's shine a little light because it's always fun. I think this is the best part of our radio shows, when we get a chance to speak to other fight fans out there, other fanatics, you know, boxing heads that love the sport and are passionate about the sport as much as we are. So let's patch in Matt, who wants to talk Premium Networks. What's up, brother? You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring.
Hey, nothing much, guys. I was just wondering, there's a lot of summer boxing now. I mean, last week we had something, this week, next week, even till I think the beginning of August. And I was wondering, how do you guys view the heads of, like, Showtime and HBO? Steve Kim had a great article early in the week on Showtime and their kind of demise. And then I wanted to know your guys' opinion about Ward and Dawson and the money that HBO is spending there, and if you think that's justified, just that whole outlook, and if Premium Network boxing is kind of turning around for the better, for the worse, you know. What do you guys think, Gabe?
I'm one of the few people that likes Ward Dawson, that I know anyways. I'm sure other people like it. I think it's a hot show. It's a dangerous fight. It's two top guys. Chad has no problem making the weight from what he's saying. You know, I've heard all the figures for it. I think what's good about it is that it's a return to Oakland where Andre Ward sells tickets. You know, and I think building regional draws is that is something that we need in this sport. We need more of that in order for the sport to survive. You know, is HBO overpaying for it? I mean, most of the networks generally kind of overpay in general. It doesn't sound like they're mortgaging their future, though, the way they did with Bradley Alexander, which was just painful for all involved, and it's the reason why we had Dawson Hopkins on pay-per-view. I don't think that's the case here. I think this would be a good fight, and I think it's a very losable fight for both men and a very winnable fight for both men.
Exactly.
That's what we want to see. I think some people think it's going to be a boring style matchup. I disagree. I think Chad is going to be bad Chad. He's going to try to put it on Andre. And if he can't, well, you know, it should be fun. I don't know. I think it's a good fight.
It's going to be – I think it's going to be interesting to a point if you're going to see a chess play here. I don't know. I'm really on the fence on that fight. I don't know whether or not it's going to be exciting. I haven't really played it in my head enough to sit here and give an analysis of that fight. I do like the fact it's going back to Oakland. I think that was the right move because he sells tickets there. And it's proven if you have a recognizable opponent with Andre Ward in Oakland, the fans do come out and show their support. So this is a good thing for Oakland and a good thing for the sport, in my opinion. So,
yeah. Yeah, I agree with all that. I think it has potential to go either way. I think great thing about Andre Ward is that he approaches every fight with somewhat of a different game plan. I mean, he's young. Both him and Dawson are pretty young. They haven't really room to grow as fighters. Another thing I wanted to touch on was just what do you think of the budget and spending overall? I mean, Con Garcia, and I read on Boxing Scene that Schaefer was talking about maybe another quadruple header in Showtime. That's probably another $1.5 million fee that Showtime pays out. Do you think that money's been spent wiser than it has in the past? Or do you think the premium networks are kind of just spending it as no regard?
Well, I think that was certainly the problem with Ross Greenberg. And that's why he doesn't have a job anymore. They were just spending left and right, and they were spending, in my opinion, because of personal relationships rather than what was good for the sport. They weren't building towards anything. The regime before, Ludabella and Seth Abraham, a part of it, they seemed to build towards things. Showtime used to build towards things. Now, I don't know where they're going. You know, it's kind of early to tell because, you know, they have two new groups, two new sets of leaders running both networks. Certainly the face of Showtime has changed drastically. Now all the Al Haymon fighters are over on Showtime where they used to be on HBO. And it almost seems almost exclusively Golden Boy. Steve wrote a very interesting column about that, how some of the promoters are claiming that they're being banned by Golden Boy. Golden Boy says, or by Showtime, rather. I'm banned by Golden Boy, but they're same thing, Showtime. And, you know, the former legal counsel, Stephen Espinoza, now runs Showtime. And he seems to be kind of playing favorites, and people are calling him on that. He says no. Everybody else says that's actually the truth. We'll see. It doesn't seem like they're being fiscally irresponsible right now. Neither network really does. I mean, they're actually getting more bang for your buck, throwing, you know, quadruple headers and triple headers, things that we've always wanted, and adding Showtime Extreme. I mean, I don't have a huge problem other than Showbox is very off-mission. They're showing older fighters. They're not showing, like, the Crossroads fights. Maybe they'll get back to that. I don't see a lot of people really freaking out yet about it. They said it's early to tell. We'll know in about a year or two where we're really at.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, though. It's like it's just kind of from last year to this year, we're still not out of this year yet, you know what I mean? For that effect to hit home run with the fans, you know, where they can kind of start seeing the pattern. They're like, wait a minute, there is a big change, and the big change is that we did lose a guy that knows boxing, likes boxing, and he left. He went to HBO, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, he went to HBO and he's trying to clean it up. How much is he trying to clean it up? I don't know. It's a big task. Don't really know, you know, his agenda of what he's trying to do, but I do know that he was left. Pretty much the way, what Obama's trying to do to our country right now. Fix it up.
Yeah, seriously. Right. You know, yeah, he kind of was handed a bill of goods. It was just like, oh, my goodness. You know, I got a lot of work ahead of me. Thanks, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It is, you know, Espinoza was actually handed something very nice. You know,
exactly.
I mean, table was really set. You know, they'd done the Super Six, which I don't think really caught on the way everybody wanted it to, but it was still, they had something in place. They, you know, Showtime could have had that fight. They didn't want it. I think, you know, Frotch's last fight should have been, you know, network, it shouldn't have been Epics. Frotch Butte. It seemed like they were trying to build towards having Butte fight one of the guys in the Super Six. That didn't happen. Espinoza, in my opinion, dropped the ball on that. I would much rather have spent the money, you know, the $1 million that Antonio Tarver got to face Latif Coyote and then test positive for Dristanolone. Money could have been spent somewhere else, anywhere else, even charity, anything other than that fight. So there's a little fiscal irresponsibility right there. We didn't need that. No one asked for that fight other than them. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll see how it goes. Like I said, it's too early to tell to kind of throw him under the bus or throw anybody under the bus. We got to see what they do first.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
that.
Matt. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Here we go. 3 hours of boxing talk here on Leaving the Ring, 347-215-7598. It's been kind of a weird show here, you know, and
I know.
What makes me say that, you know? Brooke Jones, awesome fight, great fight. You know, Carson Jones just came in. He just brought it. I mean, the kid has tons and tons of heart. You know what? I dropped the ball. I should have called him up. Should have got him on Leaving in the Ring. We should have spoken to him here on the show. Regardless that he lost, I thought he gave just one of the best efforts out there. Was definitely behind the cards in those first 5-6 rounds. And it just trailed back. I mean, I put out on Twitter, hey, Brooke, if you can keep this up, great. But I was questioning it. You know, that pace was fast. He got a little happy because he was able to land freely. And I always sometimes wonder with fighters like that, when they get a little happy, their corners, and it could be, you know, a cornerman needs to see these things, you know. He should have been able to, and maybe he did say this. I don't know, but in my opinion, I would have loved to have heard his quarterman go, you need to pace yourself. You need to relax. You know, don't go all, you know, hit happy with this guy. We gotta reserve some in the tank, you know. And if you watch some of the old fighters from the 70s and 80s and even the 90s, you know, they would have great 3 rounds, 4 rounds, but then they would give a round off. They'd give 1 or 2, you know, and it's just to reserve themselves because they know you're going into the championship rounds, you know. And I don't see a lot of people – well, I did. I see a lot of people that were tweeting that these championship rounds were dropped by, you know, Kell Brook. I'm very curious of where he goes from there. Carson Jones, I'd like to see a rematch. Why not give him a rematch, you know, if anything? I don't know if Brook was completely satisfied with that victory, but definitely the fans were satisfied with the war, that ring.
Yeah, what a fight, dude. I mean, we talked about timing, you know, and why fights like this are important. You know, in the development of a guy like Kell Brook, you know, you need a trial by fire. You need to meet a guy that maybe is undefeated or a guy that obviously Carson Jones is not undefeated, but you need to face a guy like that. You need to face a faded veteran that's still got something left, an ex-champion, a whole plethora of people. And this guy he faced in Carson Jones was a very hungry guy who took a little while to get going. I wonder what would have happened had he started a little sooner. But you got to wait it out.
I think that speed really threw him off. I think Carson Jones had a game plan. You know what, Gabe, I like what you're saying. I thought that he had the game plan of pressure, but the pressure he thought was going to maybe allow, because we have talked about, Kell Brook, where he occasionally wouldn't use that jab. But those first 5-6 rounds, that jab was just there, you know, and he was doing exactly what he was supposed to do, is tee off the jab. That posed a lot of problems to him. It's when Brooke started kind of slowing down and falling apart that I saw the game plan that Carson was trying to imply start to take over.
That's the thing. I think you kind of let him shoot some bullets and kind of waited, and then boom, you know, he started to warm into the fight. As Kell kind of faded a little bit, you know, and jacked his nose up and really took advantage of that and just kept coming after him. It was unbelievable. I mean, just coming down the stretch, two guys, it just came down to who wanted it more, who's going to get after it more. I think both stocks rise, which is, I think that's always a mark of a great fight. When you leave a fight going, you know what, either guy, you know, it doesn't really matter who lost. Obviously it does to the fighters, but to us, it doesn't really matter. I want to see both those guys, you know, and Steve brought up this point on the next round this week that, you know, I don't know if Carson Jones is going to turn into a world beater, but he's certainly going to be a premier gatekeeper for quite some time. And that's, you know, that's not a bad gig if you can get it. You know, a lot of guys made good careers doing that. Ben Johnson made his bones being a gatekeeper. So,
and who's the same? A gatekeeper. I don't even know if I'm going to put him under that label yet, because who's to say that he rises more to the top? You know, he starts – I mean, there's a guy that did lose to Afonso Gomes, but we've seen how much better he's gotten. You know, the wine has gotten finer with Carson Jones. You know, I think that there is a strong possibility he learns off of this and kind of becomes a little bit more of a threat. It's hard to say. With a fight like that, mm-hmm. a war like that, there's just two ways that you can go on the road. You can go off the road, or you can keep leading up. It's really difficult. I'm very curious to see Carson Jones again. No way in hell should the kid put his head down low. He gave a fantastic effort. If you're an American and you didn't know about this kid, you know what? You dropped the ball. Nonito Donaire, Saturday night. You want to go first with this one here?
because you're like, we're like switching roles tonight. A lot of people were disappointed, or he wasn't that good, or, Nito sucks, or, this and that. One, and this is going to sound racist, African guys just don't seem to get knocked out. They're going to go the distance by and large. You hear, like, I'm facing an African guy. You're like, hope you're in shape. You're going to be there all night. And, Matibula or Matibula, however you pronounce it.
Matibula,
Yeah, he brought it. I mean, he came to fight. He came to not go away, and he didn't stop trying. He got confused by Nonito's movement, who wouldn't. He was all over the place. He's very fast. But, I think the power is leveled off a little bit, even saying that he's fighting an African guy, he's probably not going to knock him out. But also, I think, my phone is blowing up because of this show tonight.
I turned off mine.
Stop texting me. I'm on the air. At the same time, I think that Donaire is what he is a unique talent. He's like a Roy Jones, like a Hamed, and in that he fights his own way. He has his own idea of what fighting should be, and that's how he's going to roll. And I don't know if we should denigrate him for that, but at the same time, like I've heard Garcia wasn't in his camp very much. I'm not going to say how much or how little, rather. What he needs is a real ring general that tells him, look, this is, the basics of what you need to do to beat this guy. You need to go to the body. You need to do this. You need to come in with a double jab. You got to get a fundamental in order for your creativity to work. Leaning those shots, after a while, it's just, you're going to be on empty. You're going to leave yourself in bad positions. And your athleticism is writing checks that you can cash against, Jeffrey Matabula. But against an Abdermaris, Rodondial, Nishioka, even a Jorge Arce to some extent, that could be a problem. So that's what I think he needs. I don't know if the chemistry is there between him and Garcia. I haven't really watched them in the gym together, but I know he wasn't there very much. And that, to me, says, the chemistry works for Nonito in that he kind of runs the camp and Garcia lets him. That's not what he needs. I think he needs somebody to ground him. Not, socially or outside the ring, but inside the ring. He needs a strategist to harness that creativity in order to get the results, the best possible results. That's what I thought was a very clear win. People got mad at me thinking I got shut out. Sorry, but you tell me which rounds he won. And maybe there's a couple in there and you give him the benefit of the doubt, but I don't just judge on punching, and I don't judge on CompuBox. I judge on the four criteria, and I thought that Nonito was superior on all of those.
We definitely saw a different fight. I could say that. I'm not gonna ride hard on Donaire. I honestly thought that this was an awkward opponent. His footwork was. I was just sitting there going, how does a guy get to that level with that kind of footwork? First off, it didn't seem like his legs were underneath him, but it the height definitely gave Donaire problems. The thing though that when we had him on the show and I asked him, you know, do you kind of fall in love with your power too much and you're more focused on entertaining the fans rather than solving the problem, that's the puzzle that's in front of you? And he said, yeah, but it's not going to happen again. Well, guess what? It happened again. You didn't solve that puzzle. You didn't make the corrections, you know. You had a guy that you were trying to knock him out with one big shot. You have all the skills in the world, and I'm not understanding why they're not being put to use, you know. It's going to be too late down the line. I think, too, a lot of fans, including myself, are just more disappointed that he's more business-minded. Even after, in the post-interview, Abner Morris is there. There's a reason why he's there. Call him out. You know, enough with, you know, trying to align the fighters that you think that should be, you know, because it's going to help out you and you're going to get X amount of titles. Dude, how many times you said, yeah, titles do attract people to come. But at the same time, there's got to be a stand where I got to fight the best. And not necessarily all the best have the titles. That's just in plain view. You know, a lot of the guys right now, you know, a lot of the guys that have titles are not necessarily the best. They just got in the best position of getting that title because they know somebody to get the title. So let's fight the best. And that's what we want to see. You know, enough with the securing what you're going to do next. Let's challenge that security. Let's find out if the alarm system really works. You know, let's find out if you don't have a 12-gauge when a burglar walks into your house. That's what I want to see out of a champion. Getting done and tired of seeing guys that just kind of want to wave on through because they have a following, and it's secured because they know that following is going to, you know, parade and cheerlead whenever he throws one single punch out of round. To me, that's not boxing. Boxing is about being the challenger, overcoming the obstacles that are put in front of you. You can't win them all the time, but if you give a good effort, ask Carson Jones, ask boxing fans, you give a good effort, guess what? We applaud that. We love that. That was my whole rant about it. But did have problems with Mathabula. He did have problems with them. I agree to that. But he could have solved that puzzle. I really, truly believe he could have solved that puzzle.
I would have liked to have seen him go to the body more. That's for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would have loved to see him jab to that body, you know, make the guy. And that's an old school trick. That's nothing new. That's something that you're taught. You know, if you go into a good gym and you get a good coach, they're going to tell you that, hey, shorten up the tall guy. Take some inches off of his body.
But again, that speaks to, he's got in my opinion, kind of a convenient coach as opposed to a real coach who's going to smack him across the face like Tito Trinidad's dad did and go, do this. You know, are you here? Are you in the fight? Enough of the shucking and driving and the showboating. Like, yeah, it's great. You have wonderful footwork. You're explosive. You can throw an uppercut from like 5-10 feet away and still miss it. How about trying some boxing now? You know, he does need that. I would agree with that, Dave. You know, he needs that.
He needs it.
There was no reason you got a guy with a broken jaw in front of you that's bleeding out his mouth. There's no reason why you didn't finish him. Why didn't you finish him? He was injured. The goal is to injure the other guy until he can't go on anymore. And maybe that speaks to, you know, Mathabula's heart, and he'll get another title and he'll be back. I don't think so. But, you know, at the same time, like, yeah, if you're world class, like Steve kind of kept asking, is this the best, you know, is this the third best fighter in the world that we're watching? And that's a good question.
You know, the sad part is that he could be the third best fighter in the world that we could watch. I just really think he's his worst enemy. He's neglecting his talent. He's neglecting the things that he could really possibly do. He could pizzazz us, and he's done it before. Go back to what got you to that point. Why are you abandoning the talent, the God-given talent, you know, and that you obviously have displayed for us? You know, enough with trying to be a superstar. Okay, you came, Bruce Lee, dude, when we talk about Broner trying to act like Floyd Mayweather, Donaire, stop trying to act like Manny Pacquiao. Just fight. Please.
You know, I will say to Donaire's credit, though, he would appear to know more about Bruce Lee than Manny Pacquiao. It was pretty funny, actually. I just have a side note. I tried to interview Manny because I always hear him talk about Bruce Lee. And I know a lot about Bruce Lee. I study his art. And, you know, Daniel Inosanto was one of the the founding members of JKD, the one of the first Bruce Lee students, and he was there at Donaire's fight. And I know that in Manny's camp, he's got Terry Tom, who's a disciple of Danielle Anasanto, and she's written books about Bruce Lee and his fighting style and this and that. So I try to ask Manny about it. That dude didn't know anything about Bruce Lee. It's pretty funny. Like, maybe in his own language he can talk about the movies or whatever, but in terms of fighting philosophy or anything like that, like, I'll give it to Donaire. He knows
me. Well, you know what? The fighting philosophy obviously is not working, though. You know? You're not catching on. You're not figuring it out.
Excellent point.
Hey, but you know what? Let's talk about the underdog. Let's get the underdogs. And we're going to keep talking about, you know, the fights. We definitely have to talk about Khan and Garcia and Hay and Derek Chisora. I'm tight-tongued already.
Chisora.
Del Boy. And we got to give out our predictions, and you know, Gable's going to be leaving us in a short bit. He's got an event to attend to, so let's patch in, let's call in the Riverside Rocky Balboa, and hopefully Jose doesn't hang up on us. You know, I don't think he will. And let's get him on here. You know,
I don't think he's gonna hang up.
No. I'll be surprised. I'll be even more stunned, you know? Amazing. Amazing, you know? We're going to get him on here right now. Josecito Lopez, who has a September 15th date with Saul Canelo Alvarez, a breakthrough superstar. That's what Golden Boy is calling Josecito Lopez. You know, a blue-collar fighter, well-deserved. Get yourself that money. Get yourself that fight. But at the same time, at what cost?
You
gotta
have
find
reached
out.
The voicemail.
So again, I'm gonna try one more time. Here on Leaving in the Ring. And if you want to call in, fight fans, you certainly can. 347-215-7598. We've been asked, can we ask questions too? Yeah, if they stay on the line long enough, you can definitely come on in after we're done asking our questions. If you want to ask a question to any of the fighters that we do have live here on Leaving the Ring, you can put it out on Twitter or Facebook, and we will definitely try to get to that question, unless we already covered it. So, you know, if we covered the question beforehand, well, obviously we're not going to, you know, repeat it. So
you have reached the...
And I'll text him right now and let him know that we're trying to call him.
Obviously,
it's a private number.
He's never been on a conference call, so...
Right. It is a private number, and sometimes that throws off people.
How did camp go? That's right. How did camp go? And then, like, the next guy. So how did camp go? Laughing about the questions that get asked over and over again. It's kind of funny. I know that kind of bothers people. Well, you know, I guess we could go back to this little point while we're waiting to get him. It's kind of pointing out, like, Kevin Ioli got really mad. He got mad to the point where he yelled at me on Twitter rather than also use my phone number about being pointed out that the media is kind of lazy. And, you know, you can get into patterns of that. I've noticed myself get a little bit complacent of, like, well, I couldn't get a hold of the guy. I tried a couple times. Let me grab that conference call transcript, and I'll write a little something based on that in my own analysis. I mean, it's not lazy. Sometimes it's just, like, necessary. But the questions people ask, I've been in, like, a lot of circles, and it's really bizarre when you're in that media circle. You're surrounded by the fighter. You know, we don't get Martinez often, or any of these fighters often, enough that after five or six questions, there should be silence, where there's 15 people that are all journalists, quote-unquote, standing around him. I mean, you can't ask any other questions other than, like, questions about the stories that have already been out there. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I
don't get that at all. Like, I mean, obviously you have to cover some of those things because people may want to get an actual take from that fighter. Like, hey, this story was out there. What do you think about it? You know, I tried to talk to Chavez Jr. a little bit about Texas, what went down, or his feelings about how HBO misreported him taking the drug test, which apparently he did. You know, I'm not going to sit there and question him about, you know, WADA protocols and this and that because he didn't know anything about it.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm going to go, but you got to do time and place. But I find it funny that people get, they're more angry at me saying you guys are being apathetic and silent than they are, and they're more vocal, certainly, than I'm seeing with them being with Golden Boy or Mayweather or any of these people that accuse me of spreading a lie or spreading a rumor that I never spread, you know, and banning me from the media. Why don't you take that outrage, and instead of shoving it where I would like to tell you to shove it, why don't you throw that back and use that energy at Golden Boy?
Yeah, throw it at the bully. You know, bully the bully.
Why are you getting mad at me? I got banned. Why are you getting mad at me?
Exactly. You know, really quick, too, just to speak about band real quick, we were planning to have a live broadcast on Saturday, and I'm just being reminded right now by our publicist that we have to throw it out there. We're not going to be at that event because some things came up in regards of the event that Leaving the Ring is not agreeing on doing. One, it's a long story. I'm not going to get too far into it. We have a lot of stuff here to unboxing. But we are doing a live event in Los Angeles, okay? And this is going to be next month, and we'll let everybody know the location and what gym we're going to be at, and it's going to be the first thing. Sorry for those that were planning to go Saturday. I did try to throw an email blast on the people that did let me know they were going to attend to the Saturday event, and it did explain in that email why we were not attending to it, because there's a certain protocol and a certain thing that we have to follow through as Leaving in the Ring, you know, because we support the sport. We don't try to cheat the sport. So that's the one thing that we stand by, and we stand by that firm. Anyways, man, let's break it down. Wait, let me try to call back Josito Lopez before we get into another rant. And let me see if I can get him on back with us here just to make sure. So hopefully this time he answers, or maybe Canelo called him up and say, hey, vato, mira, those guys over there? Oh, man. You know, 347-215-7598. Talk about the fights that are coming up. Give us your guys' prediction. Give us your guys' thoughts about the Cito Lopez and Canelo fight. Give us your thoughts about the Chavez Martinez fight. Give us your thoughts about anything related to boxing. We don't talk MMA here, though, so don't call in and do that to us, okay? And I'm picking up on you, you know?
No, I felt bad. I mentioned it earlier. I feel dirty. But I feel dirty all the time.
Right, right. Dirty Gabe, don't throw that out. Dark Cloud, you disappear.
You have reached the voice.
It'll be a Dirty Gabe, you know. I'll hit up his publicist too right now and let her know that he's not answering. What's up? Got to get on that, you know. Anyway, so let's get down. Let's do our fight schedule. Let's do that really quick, Gabriel. How about that?
Actually, let's just spring things on me. How about we do that?
Yeah.
We gotta
fight
up,
Leave the Ring. Man, we're having problems getting everybody on the show today. What's up with that? You know, I thought we were love.
Something I said.
I thought we were love. We're being treated like ex-wives here on Leaving the Ring.
Just give me one second.
Go right ahead. You know, fight fans, you want to call in, like I said. You definitely can. 347-215-7598. Let's talk some boxing here. I'm putting Gabriel back in the doghouse so that he won't bark at you and yell at you. So if that's what you're concerned about, don't worry about it. We got him all under control right now. You know,
very relaxed.
Very relaxed.
Yeah, and I'm actually, I'm getting ready to get out of here. I'm just trying to find the fight schedule because I'm heading over to the Steve Bash's show.
That should be a lot of fun, you know.
I'm having a good time. Yeah, I saw Ola Afalabi is going to be there. He said that on Facebook. Ola's always fun to see. Still one of my favorite interviews you ever did.
Right.
All right, here we go. Fight schedule. ESPN2 is Friday night fights. Friday, July 13th, 2012. The UIC Pavilion in Chicago, Illinois. Glenn Thompson versus Andre Fanfara. Light heavyweights in action. Jose Luis Castillo, 1999, versus Ivan Popapka, who's also a welterweight. They'll be going at it. Jaime Herrera versus Tyrone Chapman, and the welterweights in action. It's hard to count out Glenn Johnson. He's 43 years old going, you know. I like Glenn.
But he's facing some of that. Right.
Yeah. Steve called this like the double gold watch show. You know, it's like both guys is kind of a retirement show. And it's kind of sad. It's like here these guys are like local. They're basically fighting local Chicago guys. on a Friday night fight card. You know, it's like the goal is always to get on TV and then, like, you get to that pinnacle and then, like, you slowly regress in boxing back to Friday night fights, which is, you know, not regression, but you know what I mean. I'm not going to make a pick on that. I just think it's just kind of sad that Jose Luis Castillo was fighting.
God. You just sit there, and like I said, it's one of those things you sit there and go, how do they justify this? I have no idea.
Telemundo, Friday. I know, I'm just like, let's just keep moving. It's horrible. It's like hell. Friday, July 13th, 2012, on Telemundo at the Auditorio Plaza Condesa in Mexico City, Mexico. Edgar Jimenez versus Julian Chicano Rivera, flyweight. I love that middle name, Chicano.
Chicano.
Like we didn't know.
Yeah.
Like we didn't know.
Exactly.
On Epics on Saturday. This moves straight to Saturday. At the Bullen Ground, West Ham United, London. David Haye versus Derek Chisora, heavyweights in action. God, I love this fight. Well, why don't we go through the schedule and I'll come back up because we're going to have to, I'm probably going to be on the go here pretty soon. HBO Saturday, Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. Amir Khan versus Danny Garcia, junior welterweights in action. And then also on pay-per-view that evening at the Pearl Theater in Palms Casino and Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada, Anthony Mundine versus Bronco McCart. And Dmitry Sukhotsky versus Cornelius White. Later on that evening in Sinaloa, Mexico, Hernan Marquez versus Fernando Lumicod, super flyweight in action. Also, Marco Antonio Barabán on Telefutura later that evening will take on James Parrison in super middleweight action. Also on Fox Deportes, also in Tepic, Mexico, Jesus Silvestre versus Edwin Diaz, and Jonathan Perez versus Rio Togo, which is one of my favorite names. And Sonny Boy Yaro will be taking on Toshiyuki Igarashi. Damn, you got to say these one night. And Takeshi Uchiyama will take on Michael Farinas, super featherweights in action. And that is your weekend fight schedule. Also, Matt Godfrey will be fighting this weekend for anybody that really wants to see him. So... Don't everybody
speak
at once, you know.
Right. Now I want to hear your prediction. What's your take about the Haye and Chisora fight? Who takes it? Who wins it? What do you got?
I think that he is that Chisora is kind of like almost like a poor man's. At least the way he fought the last fight, like a poor man's Joe Frazier. He doesn't have that power, but he's going to keep trudging forward no matter what you hit him with. He's going to keep on coming, and he's going to keep unloading on you. He's going to get to the body. He's not going to forget about the body, and he's just going to keep coming after David Haye. Haye showed me not a lot of substance in his last fight. I know he had the broken toe. Dan Raphael can't stop waiting to remind us, but still, he didn't show a willingness to get in there and trade. When the going got tough, I thought John Ruiz on the inside gave him a lot of trouble at times. You know, granted, he was 75 years old, but he still put up a bit of a fight, and Haye kind of backed off of him at times, got buzzed a couple times, I thought. I think that Chisora's going to be all over him like a cheap suit. I think he'll be able to deal with the speed. I think he'll be able to handle the power. If he can do both of those things, which I believe he can, I think he pounds out a decision on David Haye. I really do. And just making it a 10-round fight isn't going to help. I think it just means Chisora can go a little crazier, you know, in terms of expending his energy. So I got him.
I like Chisora in this fight, too. I think the workmanship towards what David Haye, you know, because David Haye, we've seen, he's very mobile. He's a guy that he will go for the kill if he sees it there. He's got, you know, punching power. I'm just really curious, you know, because when he had cruiserweight guys that did try to apply pressure, that was that was really falling into his game plan, and it worked for him because he was such a big cruiserweight guy, you know, and that's what he wanted, was a smaller guy come after him, and then he'd blow him out of there. These bigger guys are just a different type of beast, you know. He's obviously, he needs to be more on his feet. He needs to kind of use some of his boxing skills to keep the distance and kind of control the fight. Cesaro has to just do exactly what you said, which is just get in there, bang away, don't worry about the flash, don't worry about that speed. But that speed is going to be a problem, man. I'm wondering how well he holds up to it, because a few of those shots, you know, one or two maybe not, but after three, four, and five, that can really crack the boulder there. You know, so if he can get through the four and five and six and sevens, I think he has a very big, big chance. But I'm gonna lean with Day on this one, man. I think he stops him in the later rounds.
Really? Well, I think it's possible. I mean, I think that's what's great about this fight, and what I don't understand why people are like denigrating the fight, is that either guy could stop the other guy, in my opinion. You know, I think Cesaro would have to do more of like a breaking him down kind of a thing, a war of attrition kind of a fight. But I think it's very possible for him to get Hay out of there. Maybe if he had 12 rounds, probably more possible. But Hay certainly is an explosive puncher. But let's not forget that mentally he kind of went away from the sport. He retired. And then he came back.
Right.
And decided to do this fight. So I think I just don't understand why people are down on the fight. It's one of those fights where you go, well, this guy should win, but you look at the intangibles, like, you know, the guy was in retirement, come back, so you got to question how mentally in this is he. His old strength and conditioning coach, I don't know how much he worked with David Hay for this, but he's with Khan now. So what's his team like?
Right.
What is he? I know Adam Booth is certainly capable of getting him in shape and getting him ready, but you know what I mean? Like, I think that's a valid question.
Absolutely. I wouldn't argue with that. You know what I mean? I wouldn't, you know, but I still believe that Hay has, when we talk about being athleticism in the department, he carries it a lot more than Derek. You know, and I don't see him as a shock-worn guy. He's still young. He's still vibrant, and I think he can still get away with a lot of the incorrect boxing skills that he does pose. You know, I'm gonna try Josecito one more time. Let's give him a shot. See if we can get him on here on Leaving the Ring. Hopefully we can. I know he was in training. He was supposed to get out at 7:00, so he probably is running a little late. And hopefully he will answer this time here for us, so we can get him on. It is 7:11. It's 7:11 right now here in the West Coast. So I apologize if we haven't got him on. I did text his publicist, and she hasn't got back to me and let me know anything. She's probably trying to get a hold of him as well. So see if we can get him on.
You have reached.
Nope. Still not having any luck with him. So. And I apologize. I haven't even checked it. Fight fans, you want to call in? 347-215-7598. Speak your mind here on Leaving the Ring. Let's talk some boxing. And let's talk Khan and Garcia. Let's see, Gabriel, who do you got on this fight, man? Who do you think is going to – why am I saying man? You know what happened? I had to do the switchboard.
Hang out with me.
No, you know what? I had to do the switchboard for Boxing Fix. And for some reason, Josh McDaniel – was getting, I think he was getting nervous with me being on the line. And he keeps saying, man, yeah, man, oh, man, no, man. And it just kind of rubbed on me right now, you know. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah,
man. No, man.
I say man a lot. But I got Khan on this. I think I was watching him in the gym out of the corner of my eye because I was there to see somebody else, and I wasn't allowed to look at him. Talk to him, but I was watching him, and he just, to me, is a much more explosive guy. He doesn't shoot all the way through the target, which always kind of surprises me that he's a Freddie Roach fighter, and he doesn't quite pound it, you know, as hard as he could. He doesn't quite get all his power out. But that said, he's still, I think, is a much more explosive guy. I think he's got way more experience, even though they're about the same age. He's been through a lot better of opposition than Danny Garcia. I think that is all going to serve him very well. You know, he's faced Peterson. He's faced losses and several different types of, you know, a couple different types of losses. Getting knocked out, getting beaten by decision, a guy kind of rough you up and take it from you like that. Those are valuable experiences that I don't think, you know, that Danny Garcia just simply hasn't had. And so I think because of that, I think he comes out victorious. He's just got more going for him. Now, can Danny land in that shoe and get out? It's very possible. But I just lean towards Khan. I just defer to his experience, his athleticism, that again, that speed, the ability to catch you with something that you don't see coming is much more prevalent in his game than it is in Danny Garcia's. And so I got Khan by decision.
You got Khan by decision. And I just spoke to Josecito Lopez. I just spoke to him, and he said that he is running a little behind. He apologizes, but he is going to be coming on. He said, give him just like 10 more minutes to freshen up, and then we'll call him in on the radio show here on Leaving the Ring, you know.
Okay. Oh, I'm freshening up as well, so I understand.
Yeah.
Hollywood Nights.
Exactly. So. Yeah, Hollywood Night. You know, Garcia to me, he's a good talent. Okay, here's a guy that has it there. You know, but at what level right now? At what stage of level of his skills can he compete with? You know, that's the big question. I think that's the thing that's going to hurt him, is that he does need kind of like of a push to have a momentum to get going. And he can't leave those dead spaces. He's got to probably have to really bring more of that, you know, because he's, to me, he's more of a very composed kid, which I do like. And I did, you know, did say when he fought Morales, there was a glimpse of things that I did like out of him, which was he was trying to get Morales out of there. It wasn't like he was trying to give him a free ride, you know. He was trying to make the hitchhiker pay for, you know, jumping on the cargo. With Khan, though, that pressure he has to put on him, it's got to be different. And it's got to have a different mold of a game plan that he did with Kendall Holt and, you know, Eric Morales. He's fighting a young guy, a hyper kid in the ring. Khan, to me, reminds me of a kid that's just all over the place in the playground. You know, one minute he's on the swing, next minute he's on the monkey bars, next minute he's in the sandbox. He just does everything all around, you know. And not necessarily he does it correctly all the time, but he tries them. You know, he tries his best to do it. And he's also a kid that's not afraid to eat the crazy glue, you know, or eat the color crayons. He'll do all of that. That's why we've seen him in some messy fights. That's why we've seen him, you know, put the elbow and lean his body behind the neck. We've seen him do the low blows. We've seen him push with his forearms. You know, he's willing to make sure he secures himself a fight. I'm not sure if Danny Garcia is willing to go that far and that deep with the guy. I'm not sure mentally is he going to be capable of understanding that he has to have more than one gear facing Amir Khan. Obviously, his dad has more than one gear. He's showed it. You know, he's gotten more people ticked off about or more hyped about this fight than his son has been able to market himself in this fight. And that's the funny thing about, you know, we all need hype men, you know, but it's funnier when it's your father being the hype man for the fight. I give him more, though, Khan, a little bit, I mean, Garcia, a little bit more credit. I think he's going to be able to pose some problems for Khan. I think that he's a lightweight. He's a big lightweight. I think that some of the boxing, I think some of the you know, his jab is going to maybe be able to keep that distance. But that pressure with Khan, the speed, him darting in and out, and some of the dirty tactics, I think that's going to hurt him a little bit. And I think that's going to make him be a little hesitant, and then he's going to get on that bicycle, and it's just all downhill from there. So I'm going to go with Amir Khan. I think it's going to be a decision win. I don't think he's going to stop Danny Garcia, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I don't think he stops him, but I think it's just – you're exactly right. There's just all those things that, you know, maybe this is the fight that Danny grows up in. You know, who knows? But I just tend to think that he's just more of a professional or more of a seasoned professional
than Danny Garcia is, and that's going to be the difference. That's what's going to show more than anything in this fight, you know? And like I said, Ed Khan is also, he's just been that guy. Like, he's, you know, he's an Olympian. He used to be.
Your phone's breaking up. I didn't catch anything you just said right now.
Sorry, hang on. I just think that he's used to being the star, Khan is.
Right.
And, you know, and getting away with certain things. And I think in this fight, he will get away with things a little bit more. I think he'll be able to, like you said, rough him up, lean on his neck, move him around. And either Danny's going to wake up and grow up in this fight.
Exactly.
Or he's going to get overwhelmed by the moment. And,
oh, yeah.
You know,
he's going to be pushed
one
out.
Or the other.
Exactly, and that's the big question here is that this is a hard way of growing up in the ring. You never want to see a fighter, especially a young fighter, grow up that way in the ring. You know, you gradually want them to be built up, you know, not the Canelo way, but, you know, the proper way, which is you a little more here and there. You put him in with tougher tests, you know, you see his capabilities and stuff. But boxing has become more of a rush game now, you know, rush to get him a title. And then if you don't have that marketability power, then you have to end up, guess what? You have to end up fighting the the names that do. And you not necessarily means that you're prepared and you're ready for it. So either he needs to put up or shut up in this fight, because that's definitely what we're going to see. You know, this ring is going to tell us what kind of a fighter Danny Garcia really, really is. We know what kind of Khan is. We're not really quite sure yet. What is Danny Garcia? Let's pass it to some fight fans. They want to talk boxing here on Leaving the Ring. Let's go with Don, who wants to talk heavyweights here on Leaving the Ring. What's up, brother? You're on live right now.
Hey, how's it going, you guys? I'm a big fan of your show.
Hey, thank you,
hey,
man.
I
appreciate it.
Quick question. This new crop of heavyweights coming out. I mean, you got Mitchell, you got Jennings, you got the Olympian, the, I can't remember his name, the bronze medalist. Which one of these new crop of heavyweights do you think is going to be the first to win a belt?
I would have to go with, I think Mitchell. I like Jennings, and I like Dante Wilder. I think Dante Wilder, though, is far from even looking at a title right now. You know, he's got some things he's got to correct and fix and stuff. He's definitely got to step it up. You know, it's not... He's a prospect, you know, and as well as he did in the bronze, you know, the Olympics, he still is a baby in the pro game. Seth Mitchell, I like how he's growing. I mean, let's be honest, this is a football player. How many times we don't like seeing guys jump from one sport to the other, because it's really difficult to transfer all your fundamentals into something that really you got to kind of be bred as a child into becoming a champion. But Seth Mitchell's an intelligent kid. I've seen some really smart things that he does. He understands, he has grasped the sport, and he has some killer instinct in him, and he's got some punching power. I think he's really easy to market, and I think that he's on his way, especially right now with Golden Boy. He's on his way of getting the title. How sure is he of holding on to a title, meaning should he get a title? Is he in the ripings of being a heavyweight champion? We don't know. Timing is everything. Gabe?
So do you think that when he gets a title, he's going to be protected?
Oh, well, protected in a sense of going to... Yeah.
I think it's just too early to tell. You know, the Klitschko's have all the belts. I don't think Seth Mitchell would beat either one of them.
I wouldn't be mad if they – real quick, Gabe. I wouldn't be mad, though, if they protect them away from the Klitschko's. I mean, let's be honest. A lot of these heavyweights are kind of thrown to the
dog.
That
should be the plan. That should be the plan right now. For him, Wilder, they're just – they're not ready. I don't think that they'll ever be ready for the Klitschko's. You know, it's like having a young welterweight and you're thinking about fighting Floyd someday. You know, it's just you're not going to be ready in the time that it takes for him to, you know, continue aging and you to develop, like all that timing. I would be positioning these guys, developing these guys for when the belts go vacant, when these guys retire, or when they really start to show their age and they lose it. But I think the Klitschko's will leave before they start. They'll never hit that phase where they're like, oh, God, they need to hang it up. They're both very wealthy. They're very smart men. They've accomplished their goal. They're kind of just cementing legacy at this point. making good money doing it. I don't think that any of these guys are going
to
be ready. Wilder may never be ready.
To me, the Kaliskos to me are just doing a world tour right now. You know, it's like you got two great heavyweights. This is just a world tour, the way of like almost like a farewell to the sport eventually. But there is no farewell to it because there's nobody out there to beat. You know, and fans that not entertained by them or not, you know, impressed or haven't caught the imagination of what these guys do. You're gonna end up, I think so, appreciate them the way now Lennox Lewis is appreciated in the sport.
True. Hey, do you guys mind if I give a shout out?
Go for it, brother.
Hey, I want to shout out Sweet Boxing, Ryan Bivens. Hey, man, we appreciate all the videos and keep them coming.
Yeah.
All
right, Don. Thanks, brother.
I agree with that 100%. Every time I say something or I'm like pulling for, like, I forget a fighter's name or, like, somehow I mentioned the African guy is going to go the distance. He's like, well, actually.
He's a.
That's his catchphrase. Well, actually, because he. He always does. He knows his shit. He really does.
He does. You know, and
I appreciate the addition to our show. Kind of supplements our show on my timeline. So it's nice.
Definitely, you know, and he's a regular guest for the Boxing Fix, and he goes on there, and he makes the boxing fans aware of the fights that are missed that are not even being paid attention because Ryan Bivens, man, that guy. I sit there and I go, how does Ryan really fit all of this stuff in his day? You know, I mean, I've been wanting to ask him. I have his phone. I'm going to call him up and ask him, dude, do you have like six TVs operating at once? Because he's an encyclopedia, man. There's not a fight that guy. You mentioned something. You say, oh, yeah, this guy fought this guy, but I can't remember the other guy's name, and he just popped it up. Just give him a few seconds. Sweet Boxing. Check him out. You know, check him out. Know his stuff. You know, anything. Anything you want to check out, go to Sweet Boxing and stuff, you know. And talk about great articles out there. You know, Crew of Sport is one of my favorite websites, too, as well. And that was introduced to me by, you know, Steve Kim and yourself, Gabriel Montoya, you know. And that's another site I like to visit. Boricua Boxing, too. Love Boricua Boxing. Carlos Suarez, the whole team, they do a fantastic job. They really, you know, bust their behinds. And, you know, if I talk to Carlos about certain situations, he understands. He's been there. He's done that. You know, fight fans, you want to call in? Certainly can. 345-215-7598. Be sure to pick up your Undisputed Fight magazine, man. So there I go. Again, man. Thanks, Josh. We're going to be calling in Josecito Lopez in about 4 more minutes. He was running behind. Let's talk to the Riverside Rocky. He's obviously been pulled from every corner. Busy guy, you know. And rightfully so, you know. I think he's well deserved. He went through the flames with Victor Ortiz, and he's getting the praise that he deserves. You know, 154. Again, we are not knocking Josecito Lopez. You know, he has the right to pick a money fight. He has the right to secure himself in a money fight. You know, dangerous fight. Can it ruin him? Of course, absolutely. You know, is he thinking about that? Probably not. You know, but we'll find out. We're going to find out where
he's just training. He's just training. He's just getting ready. That's what else he's doing. You know, he's a warrior.
He is, man. I've seen him in the gym. I went down and visited the gym. I actually have a video of him training, and we did an interview that we haven't posted up for the Hurt Business episodes, which I haven't done it. Worked on those. I apologize, everybody. Just been busy with so many other things. And you could see how much he puts his all into the sport. You can really see that this kid is hungry. I mean, even when they had that announcement of Victor Ortiz, you could see the hunger in this kid, the desire. Even when he came on, I asked him, you were pretty possessed. You think he could be repossessed again? Could there be an Exorcist Part 2 with him going in September 15th against Saul Canelo Alvarez? I'm not sure. This is a tough, this is a lot to chew. You know, a lot to chew.
It really is. It's a tough ass fight, you know. But you got to respect it. This guy's just like, you know what? And nobody really gives him a chance again. Like, I love it. You know, let's do this.
You got to respect it because this is the crazy part. He's a guy, he's a much smaller guy, 140, jumping up to 154 to face, you know, a guy that a lot of us are in hopes or in thoughts that he's going to be something special, where other guys. out there that are in divisions, they call out fights on Twitter, and then when it's offered to them, they back out. Or if they're not getting the right amount of money, they back out. You got a small guy. You should be ashamed of yourself. You got a smaller guy from a lower weight division jumping up and doing the impossible when you're in the same division and you're not. That is just hilarious. The label Rocky, the Riverside Rocky, it fits him. Trust me, the guy, that fits him all the way.
And that's interesting because, you know, I was like looking at the Vanas or looking at the ratings, you know, like I could understand them moving down Vanas, who was kind of in position as the number one guy. They moved him down because you balked. They offered you fights and you turned them down. And, you know, you could have fought Angulo. You didn't want that thing, you know. So to me, like, well, you earn your way to your spot, but then there's a responsibility with being that contender to take the shot, not kind of hem and haw. And he didn't take the shot. So somebody else wants it. Now you have to fight for your position to keep it. Or other people are going to leapfrog you. You just don't get it and get a pass. With Kirkland, I don't really get it because, yes, he passed, and yes, he, you know, he agreed, and then he was like, wait a minute, I want more money. And that looks bad. But at the same time, they had the issue with the dates of September 15th. He was going to be ready by October. What's the problem? Let's do this fight. And they decided that he's not even ranked right now, James Kirkland, because
right.
of medical reasons is what they said. They said, I'll have an article on it next week. It should be interesting. I've been kind of waiting on this and kind of watching it play out.
My thing is, though, you know, whatever happened to a gentleman's agreement? You said yes. You don't go back on the deal after and go, you know, nah, I want more money. I don't know. We'll definitely get into that topic. You know, we're going to, you know, we both definitely have different points of view and stuff. But let's talk to the Riverside Rocky here on Leaving Ring. Josecito Lopez. Let's batch him in. Let's talk some boxing with him. The man of the hour. Man is stepping up and doing the job that a lot of other guys that are in their own divisions that are not willing to go after, which is the tougher fights.
Hello?
Josecito, how you doing, brother? This is Dave Duenas and Gabriel Montoya from Leaving the Ring Radio.
How's it going, guys?
Good, brother. Good. Hey, man, thank you for coming on. Much, much appreciated. Hey, congratulations with your fight set up for September 15th against Saul Canelo Alvarez, first off.
Oh, thank you.
You know, right now we were just doing a little praising, man, and we were saying, I was saying this, was that, you know, this is a tough task. Overall, you're facing a much bigger guy, 154. You're jumping up two weight divisions. You're not even doing a test run. You're just going for it. And I was basically saying that the other guys in other divisions that they're not even willing, not even want to try to face the guys that are in the same weight classes, they should be ashamed of themselves. What puts you the mind frame thinking you can win at 154 when you haven't even attempted to campaign there?
You know what? Opportunities like this doesn't come too often to fighters like me. You know, I'm willing to fight anybody. It doesn't matter who. Give me an opportunity, and I'm going to take it. You know, I've never received anything in the easy way. So I know it's going to be tough. And, you know, what better way than this? You know, this is, back-to-back. You know, I found a good opportunity with Victor Ortiz, and I took full advantage, and I'm trying to do the same with Canelo.
You know, Josecito, I see you're active on Twitter. Let me ask you about the reaction of some fight fans. What do you think? I mean, some fight fans are really concerned about this fight here with you, and they're saying that, you know, I understand why you're going for it, but at any time or place, has it crossed your mind about your health? I mean, there's a possibility you could really get hurt, and even with the amount of money they're giving you, is it really worth it?
You know what? People don't know, and I understand other people concerned. People don't know. I'm a bigger guy. I walk around pretty heavy, and you know, I have to shrink down to the 40 division, and you know, and with the amount of time that I have a great amount to prepare physically for Canelo, and I know it's not going to be easy, but I think I'll be at the top of my game, and I'll be stronger and faster than ever.
I'm going to pass it over to my co-host, Gabriel Montoya, and then I'll come right back at you. Go ahead, Gabriel.
How you doing, Josecito? Welcome to the show, man, and congratulations on everything. The Al Haymon signing,
and also and gave his fight. I mean, it just seems like it's your year. When you look at Alvarez just from a fighting standpoint, tell me what you see.
You know what, Alvarez, he's a superstar. You know, he's a good fighter. He's a fighter that just like Ortiz is vulnerable to getting hit. And once again, you know, they might underestimate me. I'm a 40 pounder to them. You know, I'm gonna train as hard and as hard as I can, as good as possible. I got plenty of time to prepare to get ready for this fight. For Victor Ortiz, I had 4 weeks to get ready. You know, for a fighter of that, I got twice the amount of time to get ready. I'm a fighter. I will fight anyone. It doesn't matter who. I fear no one. So, you know, with that being said, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to challenge and take the biggest challenge out there, and that's Canelo.
He seems to be the upper body with him is very stiff. He doesn't move the head. You're right. He's a little bit like Ortiz, like that. He's a little more fluid in his last fight. Have you really begun to break down tape and look at him?
You know what? Actually, no. We actually, you know, I haven't even spoken to my trainers about a strategy yet. That'll be coming really, really soon in the next couple of days. Now that the fight has been, you know, announced. You know, we're gonna get down and do our homework. And you know, I never really imagined fighting Canelo. So I've seen his fights just as a fan. But
right. Let's be honest. I don't think anybody imagined you fighting Canelo. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You know what? Even before my last fight, you know, I mentioned to my pops, "Hey, I'm fighting Ortiz." He's like, "Ay, güey, what the hell?" He said, "Ese güey está grande."
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I take it from him. You know, he told me before, "Hey, the bigger they are, the harder they fall." You know, size doesn't matter to me. You know, just like I mentioned before. You know, Victor Ortiz might look like the, you know, the max muscle, you know, big upper body fighter, you know, but I can punch as hard as Victor Ortiz, you know. I can punch just as Victor Ortiz. So, you know, with this, I know I got a way bigger task ahead of me, you know, but I'm going to prepare as hard as I can as possible and leave everything in the ring just like I did with Ortiz.
Do you think he's more of a strong puncher? Like a strong dude as opposed to an explosive puncher, Canelo?
Canelo, yeah. Canelo has that style where he's going to come down and just break you down. You know, he has that style. He's just going to come forward, and break you down little by little. You know, he doesn't have that explosive, I'm going to finish you style. But, you know, I've gotten a good chance to look at him in past few fights, and, you know, he's just a good Mexican fighter. You know, we really got to get a good game plan and review some tapes and see what we can do to take advantage of some of his flaws.
You think that you are you? Let me ask you this, Osito, because obviously the first time when they asked you to face Victor Ortiz, it seemed like they wanted to serve you up. You know, they had Victor already committed to another fight, and you know you weren't looked as the opponent. You were looked at the guy that's going to lose. Again, you're in that same position. I mean, you know, do you think they have not learned their lesson yet?
You know what? I can't complain. I love that position, man. I'm always going to be in that position. I'm not necessarily going to be, you know. You know, the guy that's supposed to win, especially with a fighter like Canelo, you know, I didn't really expect for people to believe in me for Ortiz, and I definitely don't expect a lot of people to believe in me with Canelo, you know, but I got the few people to believe in me that I need, and that's all I need, really.
Do you plan on, and this is the thing, too, that I wanted to ask you, is, and I said this in the beginning of the show, because this, you know, we want to find out what your mind frame is. If you beat Canelo, you know, because that obviously you know this already. That's a huge and big task. Like your dad said, ay, güey, este vato está grande, you know. If you beat him, do you stay at 154 or do you go back down to 147 and 140 where there's actually really more potential fights out there for you?
You know what? I've mentioned it before. I'm the guy to never look ahead of anything. I don't know. I'm just trying to get through this fight. I'm just trying to get through this fight, man. After the fight, we'll weigh out our options. You know, whatever's best. But hey, I have the toughest fight of my life, obviously, ahead of me, and that's all I'm going to be focused on for the next 10 weeks.
So in other words, this fight is just about beating Canelo. It's not about beating Canelo and grabbing that title, then.
No. I'm trying to beat a legend right now. You know, beat the superstar, and that's all I'm focused on. You know, whatever opportunities come after the fight, then we'll go through it. But you know what? I know it's a big opportunity to face, you know, a fighter of this magnitude, and with a fighter like me, these opportunities don't come very often. So I got to take full advantage, and you know, my preparation is going to be as good as ever, and I will show what I got in the ring.
I got to correct you on something. You said this kid's a legend. You know, legends are made from, you know, overcoming obstacles and you know, triumphing against the odds. Josecito, dude, you're a legend already. You're in the making of a legend. You know what I mean? I think you've surpassed him. He may be the superstar, but you're building a hell of a story. That's what legends are made of.
Yeah, you know what? You're somewhat right. I know he's not a legend exactly, you know, but he's a superstar. He's a very popular guy, and he's a guy that's supposed to maul through me. And there's no better feeling than to prove 98% of the people wrong.
Absolutely, Gabriel.
In this fight, are you going to be basically fight heavy or middleweight? No. You normally spar with bigger guys. How do you prepare for this jump in weight?
You know what? I got a great strength and conditioning coach working with me, Herb Larkin, and he's helped me, you know, get stronger and get faster. And you know, and our plan is not really to necessarily bulk up and get big. We don't have to worry, obviously, about the weight. We just got to be the strongest, most well-conditioned time that we can, you know. And we have plenty of time to get a great strength and conditioning program. So, you know, obviously, I'm going to be at my strongest, my fastest, and I'm going to be at my very, very best for this next fight.
How confident do you feel right now, man? What year you're having?
Your phone's breaking up really bad, Gabriel. What was that again? I think we lost Gabriel here, Josecito. Hello, say, let me, before I let you go, is it okay we patch in one of the listeners that want to ask you a question? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, let's, let me get Rick, who's a publicist, and he helps out. He's a publicist for Jose Ramirez, who's an Olympian. He's going to be going on over to the London Games. Go ahead, brother. We have Josecito on live. Ask him your question.
Hey, well, people call me a publicist. I'm an agent.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry, brother. Hey, text me later and chew me out. Go ahead, man.
I put on concerts. I put on fights. Negotiate, you name it, but Lopez, I got a question for you. Opportunity of a lifetime. I love seeing it. It's the biggest break in your career, biggest thing coming up in your life. What are you doing outside the ring on it? Have you got approached by larger companies? Has the attention caught up to you yet? Are they taking notice? Have they jumped on board? Have had any, you know, major interviews come at you for the fight to brand drop? I'm curious. You know, I watched and I thought it was an amazing thing, and you're getting your chance. You know, win or lose, you come out of that thing in a no-lose situation. Your name says, your branding's up there, and just wanted to see what you're doing outside the ring. It's interesting to me.
You know what? This fight just wouldn't have happened without, you know, the biggest decision I've made in my life, and that's, signing with Al Haymon. Al Haymon was the most important thing I've done, and I think if there's a man that can guide me in the right path, right career, and make the right choices for me, you know, he's definitely my man. And, I've had a couple weeks to relax, and, you know, it's been quite crazy these past few weeks after the fight, but I'm ready to get right back into it. I actually started, working out a little bit this week, and we'll get starting to get going next week, and, I'm excited. So, you know, this next fight, it's all I focus on. You know, I don't really have any extra to worry about besides him, and my full focus is obviously going to be on Canelo.
There you go, man. Well, you know, it sounds like you're still having the party, a victory party over Victor Ortiz in the background there. We don't want to keep you on too long. Hey, man, like always, thank you again for coming on and speaking to us. It's you know, it's a lot of fun for us, and we are going to keep rooting for you. And a lot of fight fans are really rooting for you to get the win and the victory over Saul Canelo Alvarez.
Oh, thank you. You know what? And I understand everybody, you know, they're a little worried. They don't see it right. But you know what? I'm a fighter, and I'm going to go in there and give it my all. And, you know, I hope to please everyone. And you'll see, come fight night, I'm going to be at my best.
Well, that's a guarantee. You're going to definitely give them a fight, a hell of a fight, you know. And like I said, we're behind you all the way. We hope you come out okay and with the victory.
All right. Thanks, guys, man. Nice having me on again.
All right, Jose. You take care, brother.
All right,
thank you.
There you go, Josecito Lopez on Leaving the Ring, and Rick, apologize about the agent, the publicist thing, brother. He's his agent. And then God, Mr. Gable Montoya back with us.
Just for a few minutes. Yep, I'm en route to the fight, so things are a little crazy.
A little crazy, huh? Yeah, 3 hours of craziness here on Leaving in the Ring, you know. I'm still getting texts by everybody about a little earlier, and now even with now with Twitter. But, hey, everybody have a good time. Don't drink and drive. Be safe. And be happy. That's all I got to say. You know, be happy. It's going to be Friday. We're going to have some good fights happening on Friday and Saturday. Enjoy the fights. Be with your loved ones and take care. Hey, Gabriel, be careful. Have a good time, brother. Same thing. You know?
I'll hopefully nobody yells at me or gets crazy at the fights. That usually doesn't ever happen.
Right.
As usual, what a weird show. Weird weather. It's raining here in L.A., so I don't know. Must be something in the air.
We'll catch you
next week.
Yeah, and I believe it's like it's cooling down. I think it's like 95, 96 over here in Modesto.
Oh, nice.
I don't. I'm in my air conditioned office here. And Rick, hit me up, bro. Talk to you guys, everybody, later. Have a good one. Again, thanks for coming on and listening to Leaving the Ring Radio. 3 hours of boxing talk. I'll speak to everybody again on Thursday night next week.
See you then. Peace.